much about. So easy. You gotta put it in
perspective. Aloha.
Oh, wow. Aloha.
You know, you really made an effort to learn our language.
Yeah, you know, aloha has multiple meanings.
Yeah, it can mean hello, goodbye, or suck it.
So, aloha.
Yeah, aloha hard.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Hi, it's Vince with ShamWow. You'll be saying wow every time you use this towel. It's like a chamois, it's like a towel, it's like a sponge. A regular towel doesn't work wet. This works wet or dry. This is for the house, the car, the boat, the RV. ShamWow holds 20 times its weight in liquid. Look at this. It just does the work. Why do you want to work twice as hard? Doesn't trip. Doesn't make a mess. Wring it out. You wash it in the washing machine. Made in Germany. You know the Germans always make good stuff.
It's so ridiculous. It's fantastic.
And now,
let's go grab some of that meat.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin O'Bean show at 5:32. And it's Thursday the 21st. Nothing.
What's going on down there?
Well, nothing. Good times. Just ran from the parking lot.
Yeah.
And when I was in the hallway when I heard, and now our feature presentation. I'm not sure quite how that happened, but.
Well, welcome on in. Hey, got a big show today. Got a lot of stuff going on. I want to start with a story out of India that desperately requires more information. Please forgive, if we have any Indian listeners, please forgive my pronunciations because I will massacre every name in this thing. It's a tough one. This is a story about a wedding where the groom failed to show up. The bride's name is P. Pandraha. She is 23 years old. She was marrying a man named J. Sitharivalua. He is 35. Now, the article says that the groom vanished after he had an argument with his family. And that strikes me as odd. I can understand if the groom had an argument with the bride's family or with the bride, but with his own family, he doesn't go to his own wedding? That's weird, right?
Maybe they're fighting over him marrying her.
Ah, maybe that's what
they
it is.
They didn't want him to or something?
See, wouldn't that be awesome if they put that in the goddamn story? They're in the tiny town of Lakshminarayanagaran, which I'm sure is right.
That's accurate.
So he doesn't show up. Now, apparently there's some deal in India where the woman is basically cursed for life if the groom doesn't show up. If a wedding does not happen, if a wedding is planned and does not happen, that apparently in India reflects very poorly on the bride. And it's a stigma that will follow her for the rest of her life.
So even, you can if imagine, she, even if she remarries or even gets if she married?
It doesn't say, but even if she has nothing to do with the reason the wedding didn't happen, all of a sudden it's shameful on her and the family if the wedding falls apart.
All right.
So the bride's family goes into a frenzy because they don't want this to happen there to their beautiful P. Pandraha. And what do you think happens? A second man at the wedding, a 30-year-old relative of the bride named Siva Kumar, volunteers to marry her instead.
Wait, what? How close a relative?
Doesn't say. Again, more information, please.
Brother?
I don't. You think it would say brother if that were the case.
True.
It says 30-year-old relative of the bride volunteered to marry her instead. The wedding then took place as per the schedule, much to the relief of the bride's family. The other guests who came there also congratulated and appreciated Sivakumar for his timely gesture. In what circumstances does somebody who's not dating the bride at all on the wedding day stand up and go, I'll do it?
That is weird. That is weird. You'd think the preacher's standing up there going, any volunteers? Before we cancel this thing, is there anyone that's willing to step in and marry this woman?
Because we're not talking about, you know, taking her to a dinner to fill in for, you know, a date that didn't show. We're talking about marrying her. The bride, by the way, was not informed of what caused the delay until the wedding was over. But unfortunately, they still haven't shared that with us. So I still don't know why the groom just didn't show up. And
wouldn't that be funny if he, you know, he got in a car accident? He's all right, but he got in a car accident and he can't make it and somebody else stepped in and married her?
Yes.
What happened? I'm sorry, what?
He finally gets in touch with her and she's like, oh, too late, I'm on my honeymoon. So anyway, that's one of the craziest wedding stories I've ever seen.
That's pretty nutty.
So please enjoy.
Let's talk about today's Kevin O'Bean show, shall we?
Good boy. What a good boy.
We have Pearl Jam tickets today. They are, of course, playing this weekend. Mm-hmm. We have Dr. Drew on the program today.
Fantastic.
as we do every Thursday. We have Uzo Aduba, I believe is her name. She's Crazy Eyes, and Orange is the New Black. And,
oh, she's so good.
She's great.
She'll break your heart.
She scares me as well. I'm very afraid of her. Kobe Smulders on the program today. Of course, from How I Met Your Mother, she's also in Delivery Man, which opens tomorrow. And we're going to take calls if you had self-surgeries. You perform surgery on yourself. Right. Always, always a good idea. Sure. We're going to take some calls on that. And we have a brand new internet roundup as well coming up today. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat now. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 549. That is Lord, of course, playing the 24th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas this year. Ralph, do you have time for a quick moment with Bean?
Yes.
Let's get started with this.
And now, a moment with Bean.
And Twitter co-founder Jack Dorsey is 37 years old.
I hate him.
Taking money out of my kids' mouths.
Yes.
Hey, you don't have kids.
And why would you put money in their mouths in the first place? If you did have kids.
That was a moment with Bean.
That's why we don't let Bean procreate.
That's right.
He starts feeding him coins.
Yeah, no one needs that. Hey, it's Thursday morning. Ralph is here with our first look at the Showbiz Beat on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on, man?
A lot of courtroom news regarding the celebs. Chris Brown is headed back to rehab for another
Guilty.
3 months.
Guilty.
Well, of course he is, but he's headed to rehab for another 3 months. But this time it's because a judge ordered him to. You may remember after his most recent arrest, he immediately ran to rehab in a faux.
Yeah.
This is, of course, my opinion, but in a faux attempt to make it look like he was concerned about his behavior.
Didn't he get out like 8 days later or something? Like,
yeah.
Looked like it was for show.
A judge told him that he needs to get into a residential treatment facility, get tested for drugs on a regular basis, and do at least 24 hours a week of community service. Now, he could still face a probation violation for the misdemeanor assault charge he picked up last month in Washington, D.C. when he broke that guy's nose who tried to photobomb a photo that was being taken of him. He's due back in court on December the 16th, so we'll wait and see what happens, but just put him in jail. Just put him in jail, won't you?
Anything about anger management?
I believe that's all folded into the rehab thing. Yeah, he's going to have to work on his substance abuse issues and his emotional issues.
By the way, the stance of the Kevin and Bean Show, and correct me if I'm wrong, is if you can photobomb something, you have to do it.
Hell to the yeah.
You don't have a choice.
That's right.
If a photobomb is available, you do it.
It's always funny.
All right.
More courtroom news. Amanda Bynes was not in court yesterday, but her lawyer was to represent her in her latest hearing. The ruling of that hearing is that she is competent to stand trial in her DUI case. This is the one from 2012 where she was arrested for allegedly sideswiping a police car in West Hollywood. At the time, she pled not guilty. But, of course, between then and now, she was also put on a 5150 psychiatric hold, and then she set fire to a driveway in Thousand Oaks, and 3 days later, you know, she was inside.
Look, I say give her a pass on that. She clearly had issues at the time.
I think all that will come out in the trial, and I'm hoping that it will be resolved in some way, either probation or something like that. But
it's not like somebody was hurt and there's medical bills to pay or something like that, right?
Yeah, I think they had to take into consideration that she obviously was suffering from some mental illness at the time. So, Jennifer Lawrence continues to be just amazing and just great.
Yeah,
every time she opens her mouth, she's one of those celebrities. And often this is the case is the opposite, where every time they open their mouth, you like them more. A lot of celebrities, when they start talking, are like, oh, shut up and be pretty. That's just what you do.
Yeah, you're fine on the TV, but I don't want you in real life. Exactly.
So cool. Star Magazine asked her if she felt a lot of pressure carrying a huge hit franchise like The Hunger Games. You know, it's a big deal, and it does rest squarely on her shoulders. It rises and falls on her. And she said, excuse me, I don't feel too much pressure. I'm going to get paid if I make a good movie or a bad one. So apparently she's not that concerned.
Wow. That is a very savvy analysis right there.
That is very savvy. Angelina Jolie, of course, has been dealing with some serious medical issues over the past couple years, but things seem to be turned around for Angelina and her husband Brad. First of all, she was honored with the Jean Hersholt Humanitarian Award last Saturday at the Governor's Ball in Hollywood, California, for her work as a UN Special Envoy. She apparently fought back to tears when she accepted the trophy and promised to do the best I can with this life, she said. And then she and Brad have just been honored by Wine Spectator magazine. I don't know if you know this, but they own a 1,200-acre vineyard.
Did not know that.
In France. And the wine that is produced from that vineyard just this week was named the best rosé in the world.
Oh, my gosh.
So that they're now winemakers of some considerable talent.
That's one of those categories that has thousands and thousands and thousands of different.
Yeah. Yes, if you're number one out of all the rosés that are manufactured in the world, that's significant. They purchased the vineyard, by the way, for $60 million last year.
Wow.
Yeah. That's some expensive grapes right there.
So stars are not just like us.
No, they're better than us, it turns out. Much better than us.
Wouldn't it be funny if they gave them the championship, the number one spot, just so that they could get Angelina Jolie there to
accept the award?
Let's see. How hot are the other ones? Nope. Okay.
Congratulations to Leighton Meester and Adam Brody. They're headed down the aisle. Apparently, they're very much in love and are planning to be married. Leighton, of course, from Gossip Girl, Adam Brody from The O.C., no word on when they're going to get married, but it looks like it's going to happen. And congratulations to Jennifer Goodwin and Josh Dallas, who play Snow White and Prince Charming on Once Upon a Time. They're going to have a baby. They're going to have a little fairy tale baby. Anybody fairy tale baby?
Why are you saying it so high?
Because it's adorable. Oh. Snow White and Prince Charming having a baby.
I hope they're going to have the baby at Disneyland.
I think they should. And Sylvia Brown. You remember her, the psychic Sylvia Brown?
Sort of.
Wait, did we have her on?
Hideous little troll-looking woman who used to do the Montel Williams show all the time. That's where I used to see her. She was one of these, like, oh, who are you trying to talk to? Oh, my dad passed away. Yeah, I'm getting the sense, chest?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, he died of a heart attack. Okay, yeah, all right, I got that. Oh, he's talking to me from the other side. He wants you to know that he never liked you. I mean, that kind of thing.
I wish she would say stuff like that. It was always, he's great and everything's good.
No, it wasn't.
Oh, she was?
People come to her and say, my daughter's been missing for 3 years. And like she's like, yeah, she's dead. I'm sorry. I'm hard to tell you.
Wow, no kidding.
I mean, just random stuff. And she was wrong all the time and just would break people's hearts left and right. Anyway, she's now dead. 77 years old. She died Wednesday morning.
Should we try to contact her?
Maybe we should, sweet spirit.
The last time I remember hearing about her, Ralph, and I have none of these details at my fingertips, but didn't she really upset a lot of people because she said there was some missing girl or something, and she went on some show and said she was dead, and the family was all sad, and then it turned out she was alive?
Yeah, then the girl turned up.
Remember what I'm talking about?
Yeah, absolutely.
I can't remember what the case was, but I remember that everybody was just like, it was so irresponsible for her to go on and comment on something like that. That, you know, when there's people who, you know, it really matters to whether this person is found or not. Like, keep that to yourself.
And then she would always spin and say, well, I was getting images of a dark, she was held in a dark room, so I was getting grave. But,
right.
You know, it was
right.
Always massaging it. If I'm not mistaken, I think she said one of the girls from the Castro case, one of those girls.
Oh, is that where it was?
In the house, I think she said, "Yeah, no, I've contacted her on the other side, and she's passed away,
and she's dead." And then she ended up being released. Wow. You know, a few months later. That's right. I think that does sound right.
Sylvia Brown also famously claimed Michael Jackson would indeed be convicted of child molestation in 2005, and famously predicted Barack Obama would not be reelected in 2012.
So she's good at her job. I'll tell you that.
She's not that great at her job. At least she hurt families and people along the way in order to make a buck. So.
Nice job, dumbass.
Hey, before I get to the birthdays, a lot of people have been contacting me about this. Very excited about this event. It is a very special screening and question and answer session with the creators and cast of Breaking Bad.
Yay!
The phenomenon that Breaking Bad continues with the upcoming release of Breaking Bad, the final season on Blu-ray, and then Breaking Bad, the complete series. The set on Blu-ray will come to you in a barrel. I'm guessing it's not a full-size barrel.
Like he hit his cash in?
Like he hit his cash in. I'm guessing it's a...
I would hope not, too.
A scale model of
that. I don't know what you would do with something that big.
And if you win this event, you also have a chance to get a spot in line to get it signed by Vince Gilligan and Bryan Cranston, more of the cast. Anyway, to celebrate the release of the DVD, they're doing a special screening of a documentary that will be included in the complete series Blu-ray set. It's called No Half Measures, Creating the Final Season of Breaking Bad. They're going to show this documentary at the Grove Pacific Theater on November the 25th. And then you'll be able to hang out and meet and ask questions with the creator and cast of that show. So if you're a Breaking Bad fan, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Call right now, 1-800-520-1067. First four callers who get through will be seeing No Half Measures with the cast and crew, and then doing the Q&A afterwards. You also win Breaking Bad, the final season on Blu-ray, and a chance to win that barrel set on Blu-ray as well. Today's celebrity birthdays, actress Goldie Hawn is 68 years old today. Brian Ritchie, bassist for the Violent Femmes, is 53. We might have to rock a little Violent Femmes today, I think, in honor of his birthday. A little Blister in the Sun. A little Gone Baby Gone.
Sure, we played that yesterday and the day before.
Well, I don't care. I need a little one for my daughter and two for my puppy and three.
Do you have an iPod?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, use it.
Oh, come on! Nicolette Sheridan. She was one of the Desperate Housewives.
That's correct.
And then she sued everybody connected to that show.
Oh, that's right.
And lost, I believe. 50 years old today. Ken Block, rally car driver, is 46. Alex James, bassist of Blur, is 45. Michael Strahan, host of Michael and Kelly, or Kelly and Michael, whatever they're calling it over there on ABC, he is 42. Actress Jenna Malone is 29. Carly Rae Jepsen is 28. Remember how hot she was?
She was that Call Me Maybe? Maybe?
Yeah. With the biggest song in the world.
That was the biggest song in the world for
a long time.
6-8 months.
Yeah, it seemed like it was everywhere all the time.
It's crazy.
Bierma can get me that like this.
Yeah, he did.
Violent Femmes, nowhere to be found. We're freaking K-Rock. What, you used to work for Carson Daly? How the hell did you get that so quickly? Hey, I just met you.
We can play this for Violent Femmes, too.
Okay. And Mother Fjorkenbjork. Bjork is celebrating.
You love her.
Fjork Bjork. You know, I've always said that.
You have always said that.
I hope she chokes on some pixie dust or whatever it is she eats out there in the woods of Norway when she's communing with the storks or whatever she hangs
out. She's Iceland.
Oh, whatever. She's 48 years old today. 48 years too many, if you ask me. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Playing night number two of the 24th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas Fits in the Tantrums, which brings up the auction. We should tell you about the auction again. Go to krock.com. You can bid on one of 10 ultimate K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas experiences.
Let's say you love Fits in the Tantrums or any of the other great bands that are playing night number two, or night number one for that matter. Let's say you want to see them as close as possible in the pit at the Shrine Auditorium the weekend of December 8th. You want VIP artist access passes, and you want to be on stage to introduce a band at the show. You can do all of those things by going to krock.com right now and placing a bid. We've got, I think the deadline is, what, this Friday at 7 a.m. That's tomorrow.
That is tomorrow, yeah.
Tomorrow at 7 a.m., so a little more than 24 hours from right now. 100% of the proceeds go to the Red Cross Disaster Relief Fund to help with the devastation in the Philippines after the typhoon there. And again, 5 pairs of tickets for each night, so there will be lots of winners. So it's not like if you don't win, you're out of luck. You could, you know, be the second highest bidder and still get to go. But again, all those details at krock.com. We're going to talk to the beautiful Colby Smolders. Colby Smolders. Slurred that a little bit. Coming up here from How I Met Your Mother and Delivery Man in just a few minutes here on the World Famous K-Rock. First, though, R. Kelly is back with a new album, you guys.
How exciting.
Where are you, Chuck?
I feel like you're mocking, but I am actually a big R. Kelly fan. I like him very much. Trapped in the Closet is a little bit of an anomaly. That's kind of a side project for R. Kelly. It's a little different than most of the times he just does sexy R&B music. That's what he's famous for.
I was out on him when he was peeing on his goddaughter.
I'm
just saying that's a tough one to get past.
New album is coming out on December the 10th. It is called Black Panties, and he is going to be, you can buy the deluxe edition with some extra tracks and a pair of actual black panties. That's one of the things that is being offered. But he's been doing some press for this new album. And of course, he's famous for his sexy songs. Some of the songs in the new record include Legs Shaken, Throw This Money on You, Marry the, I'll say kitty. That's not what he says. Physical, Tear It Up. I mean, Crazy Sex is another song. So he's famous for those kinds of sex. So he sat down with Rolling Stone magazine to do some press for the new Black Panties album, and he gave some insight into his songwriting abilities.
I don't like to just write songs. I like to write life. that's my job. That's my challenge, you know, and that's what I love to do. I love to just take simple lyrics that people say every day, that people do every day, and just turn it into a massive hit.
All right, so R. Kelly decided that they were going to, Rolling Stone decided they were going to challenge R. Kelly by that, by giving him some phrases, everyday phrases, and having him improv some songs on the spot.
Okay.
So the first one that he was given was Sex Dolphin.
Swimming in your waters with you. I want to be a dolphin to you. Going going take this chain on my neck, give me much respect. Take you to my bedroom, kissing on your neck. I wanna be your ice hockey player.
Okay, what? So what? Now he's doing a song to the words ice hockey. They gave him ice hockey and told him they wanted to do a song about that, and that's what he's singing now.
I wanna be your ice hockey player, your dragon slayer, girl, and we can get in to one of them fights like they do on hockey every night. Oh, hockey player, baby, yeah.
I mean, look, it's not the greatest song you've ever heard.
It's not even close.
But they're asking him to sing a song called Ice Hockey. That's a love song. All right, a couple more from R. Kelly. Sex Newspaper is what they gave him this time around.
Good news, good news. All I want to hear today is good news. Go give me a paper. Because I want to read about good news.
Yes. I think that's the end of that one, I think. maybe not. Italian Hero Sandwich of Love is the final R. Kelly lyric that they gave him. Let's see if that's where we are on the tape.
Bring you and your friend to my crib, baby. And y'all can sandwich me like an Italian. What is it? Hero or Giro?
A hero. Yeah.
Like an Italian hero sandwich. We'll be making history. Bring one of your friends to my career.
And I'll pee on you? What's going
on? Y'all can sandwich me like an Italian hero sandwich, baby. Yum, yum, yum.
Nope.
For your tum, tum, tum.
Nope.
I mean, something like that. I don't know. I mean, but if I had the track, if I was in the studio, man, I'd blow your mind with it. But, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think ice hockey is going to be the one that's going to be taken over. Anyway, Black Panties is the name of the new R. Kelly album. Get it or not, it comes out on December 10th. Got a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup coming on later on today. Also, we'll do our weekly visit with Dr. Drew, and actress Uzo Aduba is going to be joining us. She plays Crazy Eyes, don't you know, over there on Netflix's Orange is the New Black, which is so, so good. And it's so weird, by the way, because we're so used to our whole lives having TV seasons that start here and then end there.
Yeah, not
but every time we talk about Orange is the New Black, it doesn't matter if you've never seen it, you haven't missed anything. It's all still there. You can still see all the episodes at Netflix and season 2 coming up next year. So we'll talk to Uzo later on this morning. Speaking of actresses, wouldn't you say our favorite Canadian actress has got to be Kobe Smulders, who joins us on the Kevin Bean Show right
I'd
now.
Say favorite actress of all time.
I'd say favorite
you
Canadian
guys,
of all time.
Stop it right now. It is too early for flirtation.
All right.
How are you, my dear? Welcome to the Kevin Bean Show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I've been on the show before, right?
I believe you have, yes.
I think it's been a super long time, though, which is to our...
It's a few years, though.
Yeah, it's to our shame.
Like, probably 5 years or something.
Hey, I was thinking about you're filming your ninth and final season of How I Met Your Mother right now, which means you've got to be about 3 months away from the most tearful day of your life, right? Have you faced the reality that you're not going to be going to work with all of these guys that have become such good friends?
It's true, and thank you for bringing that up now.
So A, flirt, excited. B, bring up something sad.
Yeah. A, you flirt with me, mm-hmm. and then B, you make me cry
right.
already. Thanks, guys.
So special, a good first minute.
It's a great morning. It's a great morning so far. No, but you're right. It's going to be really sad. I think that these episodes so far have been super packed, and so we haven't really had any time to look around and go, hey, we're not going to be doing this for much longer. But when it comes, yes, it will be emotional. Yes, I will cry.
But you've got a lot of other stuff going on. You were in the Avengers, of course. You're going to be in the new Avengers, Captain America. You got a lot of projects, including Delivery Man. Tell us about this. Tell us about acting with Vince Vaughn in this movie.
Acting with Vince Vaughn was very, very fun. I went into this movie. I'm such a fan of his. I mean, he's so funny, and I've watched his movies for years, so it was cool to get to play his girlfriend. And in this movie, he sort of plays this underachiever, and I play a New York City cop, which was a lot of fun to do.
Have you ever been a cop before, Kobe?
Like real cops, like
in real life. Yeah, he's asking if you've been a real cop.
You know, it's hard. Shield is sort of a glorified police officer.
Yeah,
true. That's right.
Never a New York City cop. And actually, I have a funny story. Is that I went to when I was doing press for Avengers in New York. I met this guy, and he was a New York City cop. And he gave me his business card, and he was like, if you ever need anything in the city, call me. And I was like, I will definitely call you.
That's awesome.
I will definitely call you if anything goes down. And I got in touch with him right before I started shooting The Delivery Man, and I went down to the precinct. It's the 34th Street precinct, and met with him and other officers, and he answered all my questions, and it was super cool.
That dude was the stud of the police station that day. He was like, yeah, Kobe's coming down. It's no big deal. We're just going to hang, teach her about being a cop.
It was a little bit weird. They're like doing their morning roll call or whatever. It's not called a roll call, but it's called something much cooler than that. just like walk in the middle of that. Hey, guys, so this is what happens. This is how police work works. Okay. Cool.
But what's so weird is he probably, I mean, for him, he said, hey, call me if you ever need anything. And he was just... I mean, it was just putting it out there in the universe. Like, there was a 1 in a billion chance he was ever going to hear from famous Hollywood actress again. And then you do call him. It must have blown his mind.
Listen, you give me a business card, I'll call you.
That's all you
I'll
need?
I'll call you for sure.
Wow.
We talked to Vince a couple of weeks ago about Delivery Man. And we love him so much. As who doesn't love Vince Vaughn, right?
Yeah.
And he said that the thing that was surprising to him, I mean, even though he read the script and knew what it was all about going in, is how sweet this movie ends up being. I mean, you know it's going to be funny, but he says it really has so much heart, maybe more so than anything he's ever done before.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, he probably would know his work better than I. But yeah, I mean, I feel like Vince is so known for his comedy. He's such a funny guy. But you know, this movie is all about fatherhood and about family dynamics and what it means to be a father. And he plays this character who sort of steps up and decides to be a really good father. So it's really, really a sweet film.
But we should mention that he's trying to be a good father to 142 of 533 children.
Yeah, it's a very difficult task.
That does not seem very possible.
Yeah, he sort of calls himself in the film, I think he calls himself a guardian angel. He says he can't be a father to that many kids. He can sort of pop in and help.
He seems like the kind of guy to me when you're acting who just doesn't pay any attention to the script. He just goes wherever he wants to go. Is that true, or does he...
I think he's kind of known for his amazing improv, and I think on other projects that is probably the case. But with ours, maybe it's because Ken Scott, our writer-director, who also wrote and directed the original, which is a French-Canadian movie called Starbuck, this is his second time around with this film. So he was quite specific about the dialogue and how he wanted to tell the story, so... We all were pretty much on script.
We are talking to actress Kobe Smulders here on the Kevin and Bean Show, talking about the new film called Delivery Man, which is finally here. It comes out everywhere tomorrow. And before we let you go, just a few words, Kobe, if you would, about what it's like being in the Marvel Avengers universe. Like, is that a whole different ball game for you as an actress to be involved in a project of that scope?
It is. I mean, it is this fun, creative world that is just supported by such amazing fans, and it's like a dream, honestly. Like, I think it's like, you know, when you're a kid, you watch these big movies, these big action movies, and you think, wow, that's so cool, and it's just amazing to be a part of it, you know, and to be able to be on these sets with these actors, and it's the best.
And you know you'll never be poor again. I mean, if you're 80, you can still go to Comic-Con in July and get paid for an autograph. You know that because you're in the Avengers. Yeah.
I was somebody once. I also just feel like I'll always be able to show the generations to come, like, guys, I was in the Avengers.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
The second, I think it's right behind Titanic, right, for the second grossing.
Yeah, I think so. It's a part of film history.
Absolutely.
It's a really cool footnote in my life, and it was also just really, really fun to do, but it's definitely nice to be a part of.
If I'm you, I'm taking credit for all of that. I'm saying, yeah, that movie was on my shoulders.
You'd really use it. You'd really gloat about it.
That's correct. Yes, I would.
Well, you are adorable, and one day we are going to find you, and we're going to give you a business card. That's our pledge to you.
Stalker man.
That was going one direction, and then it took a sharp right.
That's correct.
Give you a business card. That's all I said, because we know that that's the answer. How I Met Your Mother airs Monday nights at 8 on CBS in its ninth and final season of the show. It'll be so sad to see that go, but Kobe lives on the big screen with Delivery Man opening everywhere tomorrow. So nice to see you, and we'll do it again in about, another 5 years, Kobe.
Done. It's a date.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. It's the world-famous K-Rock at 6:53.
Ralph Garman is here. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday morning Kevin Bean Show. What's going on, dude?
Superstar! I'm sorry. Just getting caught up in the commercials. I love our commercials.
They're the best.
I want to give a quick heads up to some people who have been contacting me saying, hey, what's up with Hollywood Babylon? You guys haven't done it for a couple weeks. It's true. Kevin Smith was off directing his Walrus movie.
I heard you guys broke up. You're not doing it anymore.
That's just not true. We had to put things on hold for a second. But we're back this weekend, Saturday night, at the Improv on Melrose in Hollywood. The world-famous Improv will be performing again Saturday night. So if you want to come out, there's literally like just a handful of tickets left. I did want to give you people a heads up. You can go to improv.com or babylonralph.com or csmod.com to get your details and your tickets. But also, because we had such a good time down in Brea in the OC, just this week we announced we're doing a big New Year's Eve show down at the Improv in Brea.
Fantastic.
So if you're looking for something to do on New Year's Eve, we're doing two shows this year, 8 o'clock and 10 o'clock. So if you want to party out with us on New Year's Eve, you can go to the Improv at Brea. You go to improv.com and click on Brea for all the details on that one, too. But we'll see you someplace soon. And speaking of comedy shows, I warned you. I said, if this thing happens, I'm going. So right now, I'm letting you know I will not be at work on July the 1st, 2014.
Okay, we'll make a note.
I'm calling dibs vacation day on that day.
What's happening on July 1st?
Monty Python's Flying Circus!
Yay!
Back together again. They revealed their new project this morning in London. They are performing on stage on July the 1st, 2014, at the O2 Arena in London.
So when you buy your tickets to the show, you also have to include airfare and accommodations to Britain.
Whatever!
Okay.
How many times do you get to see Monty Python live on stage?
First time since what, 1980, right?
Yeah. These are the surviving members. Graham Chapman, the sixth member of the comedy troupe, died in 1989. And so the motto of this story, which is being called Monty Python Live, mostly, because of course their sixth member died, the motto of the show is one down, five to go. So already I'm laughing.
Ralph, they are doing a Reddit AMA right now, so I know you're going to want to run right to your computer as soon as you get done with this report, but they're all answering fan questions from around the world at this moment.
The tickets go on sale on Monday, and so I'm going to buy all of the tickets.
You can't buy all of
them.
Yes,
I can.
How many seats do you need?
All of them. So okay. It's just me sitting there in an empty arena with Monty Python performing in front of me.
That seems feasible.
So, yeah.
It's pretty big news.
Very excited. It is big news. For me, you know, it's like you hear musicians say, I knew I wanted to be in a band when I first heard, you know, the Beatles or the Rolling Stones or Guns N' Roses or whatever. There's always that moment for someone where that switch went off. For me, it was Monty Python. I remember watching that show saying, this is the most awesome thing in the world. How fun would it be to do what those guys are doing with your friends? It looks like the best thing ever. It changed my life, Monty Python. So,
would you say your experience here on the Kevin and Bean Show is equal to that?
Very
dream?
Similar, yes. It's very similar to being a member of Monty Python's Flying Circus, with the level of quality and acting writing that I get with the people surrounding me.
That's what I figured.
It's as if I'm in a modern-day Monty Python Flying Circus.
Hey, you've got Brea New Year's Eve. You've got that.
That's right. I got that going for me. So, Speaking of the Brits and the Beatles, I know Kevin rolls his eyes every time I do a Beatles story, but it fascinates me how they are still newsworthy 50 years after they first came to America.
That fascinates me, too.
On these shores. 50 years ago. In February, it'll be the first time they performed in front of an American audience on the Ed Sullivan Show. But I thought it was fascinating that this week they uncovered the first time the Beatles were ever mentioned on American television. It's almost exactly 50 years ago. November the 18th, 1963, the NBC Nightly News did a story on this phenomenon that was going on in the UK at the time called the Beatles.
And no one in America had any idea
what it was.
Knew.
You have to understand, it was a very different world then. You know, what was happening in England was not necessarily being heard about or seen in America because there wasn't the internet.
No internet, right.
You know, there was no big global community of information being shared. So NBC caught wind of this band that was making girls scream in the UK, and they did a story on this band called the Beatles. Now, it's about 4 minutes long.
And that shocked me, by the way. Didn't it, you, Ralph? Didn't you think it would be a mention?
Well, no. Apparently, it was a big enough phenomenon. It was the first time England ever had their own sort of rock stars. You have to remember that. For that, it was Elvis and, you know, Buddy Holly and all these, all the rock and roll acts in the history of rock and roll had all come from America. And British teenagers used to turn to American radio and American records to listen to rock and roll. So for the first time ever, England had its own rock stars. It was unheard of at the time. It's crazy for us to think now where British rock stars are the norm.
Right.
That this had never happened before. And so they did a four-minute story on the NBC News. Now, the video is lost because NBC used to tape over the videotapes that they recorded the news on.
Oh, really?
But someone came across the audio from that report this week. And it's weird because it's almost exactly 50 years later. But listen to the complete disdain that Edwin Newman, the newsman, has for these four long-haired dudes from
England. Why does he hate so much?
I have no idea. It was like, okay. Oh, the only problem with this band is you can hear them. I mean, it's that kind of, it's literally that kind of stuff.
Is it, hey, kids, get off my lawn?
It really is.
It is. It's exactly what it is. Because he's probably listening to Perry Como and stuff like that. Like, this was just noise to him.
It's just the girls screaming and these guys with the hair. It's just such, he's looking down his nose at this band so hard. And it's so funny now in retrospect that this would become one of the biggest musical acts in the history of music. But it's so funny to hear this is the first American mention of this band. It's 4 minutes long. You go to YouTube now and hear the whole thing, but I just brought in the very tail end of this report.
The London Times has carried the sobering report that the Beatles may bring their Merseysound to the United States, to which it may be rejoined, Show Us No Mersey. Also, one Robert Percival, an artist, proposes to capture the Merseysound on canvas. Percival, mercifully, is deaf. Edwin Newman, NBC News reporter.
Luckily for him, he's deaf, so he doesn't have to hear this horrible music.
I thought back in the day they were supposed to be good reporters and be all neutral and whatnot.
They were slapping that band around for 4 minutes.
Good
on
thing
the
he's
NBC
deaf.
Luckily for him, the mercy.
By the way,
show us no mercy.
And by the way, this isn't psychedelic acid rock.
No!
Remember, we're talking about like Please Please Me and From
Love
Me to
Do.
You. Love Me Do. I mean, those are hardly headbangers, you guys.
Yeah. Mercifully, he's deaf. I hate these guys.
I love it.
I'm Edward Newman. Yeah, you can pick that up on YouTube if you want to check it out, the full interview. Today's celebrity birthdays, Carly Rae Jepsen. She's 28 years old today. She was a Call Me Maybe girl.
Yep.
One-hit wonder?
I don't know. Did she have anything else, Bean?
She did. She had another duet that came and went with Owl City that went top 10. But I think at this point, Call Me Maybe is the only thing she'll be remembered for.
Jenna Maloney is 29 years old today. Michael Strahan turns 42. Alex James of Blur turns 45. Another bassist, Brian Ritchie of the Violent Femmes, is 53. Let me go on, like I blister in the sun. Let me go on, big hands, I know you're the one.
Nice.
Listen to that bass line, man. Brian Ritchie's the man.
And he gets more Ritchie every time we play that song.
Yeah! Nope. No.
Bean needs to not control the little kids.
You can't
enthusiasm.
Yeah, yourself. Bjork's 48, Nicolette Sheridan is 50, and actress Goldie Hawn turns 68. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Next Wednesday is going to be the deadline for you to submit your entry to be Miss Double December 2014. Do I have that right? 6 days from right
That's
now?
That's correct. You can go to krock.com right now and enter. Ladies, you must be 21 or over. I do say ladies because on day one, we did have at least one guy apply to be Miss Double Dave.
He was hot. Don't get us wrong.
Nothing wrong with that, but unfortunately, we are restricting this to the women only, please. 21 and up, please complete your submission and send two recent, clear, no-filter photos of yourself, please. And then, of course, we'll put the top 10 up on the website. Listeners start weighing in, and we have the pageant this year. Back with our friends at the Slide Bar Rock and Roll Kitchen in downtown Fullerton. That's going to be on Friday morning, December 13th. We are going to be webcasting that like we do, but it's even better for you to come on down and be with us in person because, well, we just have a great time out there.
And not to make it more creepy, but just face shots, come on now. Come on. You know what I'm saying? It's Miss Double December.
It's not Miss Beautiful Eyes 2014. Right. It's Miss Double December 2014.
And we have to say that because we get a ton of photos that are just faces. And you go, well, I don't want, but what about?
And if you're wondering what's in it for you, you do get to become a part of the Kevin and Bean family for a year. And that means, you know, you get to go to Acoustic Christmas. You get to go to the K-Rock Weenie Roast. You get to come to April Foolishness, Kevin and Bean singles parties, live events. So it really is, you know, I think for people who like K-Rock, especially people who enjoy the show, I think it's fun for you, fun for us too. And you do give people who come out to see us something nice to look at, which is really what we're going
That's
for.
That's the
here.
Key, sure.
I asked Dave to stop by here because I'm not watching this video. That is titled The Epic Disgusting Removal of a Blackhead 25 Years in the Making. That's just not a button that I'm going to click to bring that into my home.
I am with you, Bean. I
so
am with you.
Either.
Nope, and I won't. No interest in that.
So we thought it would be interesting. I want Dave to tell us about this video so that we don't have to watch it. But we thought it would be interesting because there are lots of scenarios, and I've seen stories from time to time in the news, where people decide, and I'm sure that a lot of times, I'm sure there are two reasons why you don't go to the doctor to have something removed from your body. One is you can't afford it. You don't have health insurance, and you know every time you step into a doctor's office, it's going to cost you a couple hundred bucks at least, right? And two is, depending on what's stuck in your body and where, there may be an embarrassment factor.
Sure.
I think those are the two reasons people end up doing self-surgery. Well, I guess there is a number three. And number three is time is critical and you have to do self-surgery. Otherwise, you're going to die. Maybe that would be another option that might come into play in some scenarios.
In my opinion, self-surgery is always a good idea. Does everyone agree with that? Are we all on the same page or no?
I'm absolutely in.
You've
well,
done
I don't
it?
Hear about
I've
that,
done it.
Dave, but yeah. Let me give out the phone number. For people who have ever conducted self-surgery, you've done a procedure on yourself that normally would have been done by a doctor. We want to hear from you, and we want to hear what the circumstances were and why at 1-800-520-1067. Dave, what self-surgery did you perform on yourself?
I removed an ingrown toenail.
Oh, ouch.
Yeah, that was not pleasant.
Ouch.
How did you cut into yourself? What did you use to cut into yourself to get the nail out?
The nail itself. I started clipping the nail, and I just kept pulling and pulling. And at this point, it was in so much pain, I just had to keep going. So it, you know, it hurt.
That's the type of thing, if you had gone to a doctor, even if you'd just gone to one of those, you know, walk-in clinics or something like that, at least they could have put a little shot in your foot to numb it so that you wouldn't feel it.
Let's just say that it didn't solve the problem. It probably made it worse.
Oh, excellent. Good.
Yeah, so I don't recommend it. And then when I actually went to the doctor, I was like, really? That was it? That's it?
That's all it was?
That's all it was.
Really? Wow. So
that
you made it
so
a lot
much
worse.
Easier. Oh, totally. Yeah. So, do it. I mean, it's fun.
I've never done the self-surgery thing, although you said if it should be taken care of by a doctor. I did break my nose and it was crooked, and I saw on TV, you know, a guy straightening it out. So I just went in front of a mirror and just went,
yeah, we do that all the time. I play basketball in this gym, and people who jam their fingers or dislocate them, we just pull them back in. And keep going. Yeah, just keep going. I've seen this on TV.
But self-surgeries, I mean, if you've taken it a step further than that, let's say that it involves stitching yourself up. That's
right.
The best.
Oh, yeah. Before we go to James, I opened this conversation by talking about this video that Dave sent out.
Yes.
Again, the title is, and good morning, everybody, The Epic Disgusting Removal of a Blackhead 25 Years in the Making. Now, I know in the description, I know that this had been something that had enlarged over 25 years to the size of an eraser head.
Yeah.
And then how does she take it out? And what?
We don't want to know the answer to that.
Well, listen, it's not that bad. I think the title was overselling it a little bit. All they show is her picking at it with a pin and just digging and digging and digging, and more of this stuff comes out.
Who's hungry?
Why would she film that?
I think I don't know. I think it must have been bugging her. And you know, she has, like, her family around her, so they're commenting on it, you know. And when it's finally done, it, like you said, it's the size of a razor head, and it's just, like, this little black thing, and it's gross.
Heard enough of that one.
And you're like, huh, that was in you for 25 years. And it's funny to read the comments of, you should have went to a doctor a long time ago.
Yeah, no kidding.
That could have turned cancers. It's like, see, you don't need a doctor. You can just do it yourself.
Well, you do sort of need a doctor.
Listen,
in most
kids,
cases.
Learn from me. I've done it. It's fine.
It's cool.
Yeah, it's cool.
The comment describes what was removed as what looks like a rotting Tootsie Roll.
All
so
right.
I'll leave that image
enough
with
of
you.
That.
As we move on to our good friend James, he's up first. He's on line one here on the Kevin Bean Show talking about self surgeries. James, what did you do?
Well, I had played with my face a lot when I was younger, and I ended up getting a cyst on the side of my cheek.
Right.
This ended up getting, I kept messing with it, of course, and it ended up getting about the size of a golf ball.
Oh, my
God. So I decided one day, like, I'm going to get this thing off my face, because, like you said earlier, it just costs a lot of money. And so I proceeded to take a needle and jam it in there.
Oh! Ouch!
Why did this topic seem like a good idea yesterday?
Man, I don't want to hear any more.
It went so far in that I felt it touch my cheekbone and, like, kind of scrape on it. Well, I had a friend, of course, record this because I just couldn't do this without getting it on video.
Right, sure.
And so it ended up getting a little bit smaller, and here, like, maybe 2 or 3 years later, it was still on my face. I finally went to a dermatologist and had him cut it out. It was just a little cyst. It was in there about the size of a grape.
Wow.
So don't pick your face.
Did you? Okay, good tip.
Do you have a scar?
Good tip.
Yeah, I do. I have a little scar.
Yeah, battle scar.
That's not a battle scar.
That's him being an idiot.
That's a dumbass scar, Dave.
What are you going to say? Oh, I had a cyst in my face, so I took it out myself. No, battle scar. I got shanked in the face.
Knife fight.
Yeah, knife fight.
I did time. All right, James, thanks for the call. Hey, we got some fantastic calls here.
Worst that I thought we would ever get.
Chris, you hang on. Rob, you hang on. Oh, a fight in Hong Kong. I love that.
Jason.
And when we come back, we got to talk to Jason, who had a staph infection on his penis. So how do you think that went? We'll take those calls when we return right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on K. Right now, we're taking your calls on self-surgery. I don't know that this is an outstanding topic for people who might be eating breakfast. But you can decide once you hear from Jason, who had a penis staph infection, and he's up first. He's on line three on the Kevin and Bean Show.
I already regret this topic entirely. I hate these stories. Hi, Jason.
How you doing?
You performed self-surgery. What happened?
All right. I ended up with a spider bite on my penis.
Okay.
And instead of just being a normal itchy spider bite, it, like, swelled up.
Sweet.
So I popped it to let the poison out, was my theory at the time. And I apparently let a staph infection that was on the surface skin in.
Oh, no.
So I go to a Planned Parenthood thinking it's like some sort of STD.
Right.
You know, bumps are kind of common. And they say, okay, we'll get results in a week. And everything comes back negative. And by then, it had reached about 3/4 of an inch wide and 1/4 inch deep.
Oh, my God.
Eating. Just like a hole. And so I pulled it out to the doctor and said, look at this. This is not clear. So they sent me to the hospital, gave me antibiotics and all kinds of medicine.
Sure.
That didn't work for 2 weeks. So I just sat at home one day, grabbed the tweezers, and took out and swabs and just cleaned out the whole thing from the inside and filled it with powdered sugar.
Powdered sugar?
Nothing can live in a pure sugar environment, so it kills all bacteria.
Who knew that? I'm not even sure Jason knows that.
We're going to ask Dr. Drew. We're going to have Dr. Drew on next hour. We're going to source you on that, Jason, all right?
Sure.
All right.
Okay, thanks for the call. Let's go to Rob. His involves a bar fight in Hong Kong, which I think leads to an interesting self-surgery story. He's on line five, and he's up next on the Kevin Beach Show. Hi, Rob.
Hey, how's it going? Good morning, guys.
So you're in Hong Kong.
Yeah, so I'm in Hong Kong and get into a bar fight, and my lip gets split open about 1/2 inch. And because I had left my passport in the hotel room, we jumped on the train and got back to our hotel room as quick as possible. And rather than going to the hospital, I decided to get a call up room service and get a sewing kit sent up.
Oh.
So then I sewed up my lip, and about the time I was finished, my buddy called and asked if I was okay, if I needed any help. And I said, yeah, I need you to come down here quickly. And he comes to the door, and I said, I need you to finish tying the knot. I can't do that part.
Did you make good stitches, though? I mean, did they work?
They worked. I wouldn't say they were medical professional grade, but closed my lip up. And,
all right. So for you, that worked out.
It worked good.
All right, there you go. All right, everybody.
Thanks for the call. You know, it's funny because in so many movies, you see the heroes get shot or knife fight or something like that, and they stitch themselves up in a dingy cave or something like that. But I didn't know that regular people also did their own stitches. Let's talk to Chris. He's on line six. He's up next. By the way, have you noticed that 100% of the people that have called have been men
who
have done self-surgeries? Women are smarter than men, apparently, and they go to the doctor.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. What happened?
So I've always been the self-surgery type. You know, you get something on your hand, cut it out with an X-Acto, sear it up with soldering iron, that kind of deal. So I had a cyst about a half inch wide on my neck, and one day I just got tired of it. I took a lighter to a pair of fingernail clippers and just kind of cut the thing out.
Oh, my God.
Took about an hour to get everything out of it, but put a nice little hole in it, squeezed everything out, and it turned out fine, actually. I have no scar, absolutely nothing.
But it took an hour to get everything out of that. I mean, at some point, don't you want to just pass out from it?
No, well...
You had been drinking, hadn't you?
Maybe a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, you would have to drink to get through that.
But all right, it was worth it.
All right, so everybody's happy so far. Good.
thank you for the call. Look, we only have time for one more. I'm going to vote for Antonio on line two because I don't even understand what he pulled out of his foot.
Hey, Antonio.
Hey, how's it going, Kevin and Bean?
Good.
So I had what I think might have been a fungus on the bottom of my foot. It was like on the arch.
Right.
And I decided, you know, I was looking at it, and it was bugging me to the point where, you know, I would, if I walked like that, certain times it would just hurt. So I got tired of it one day. And grabbed the fungus, quote unquote, and just yanked as hard as I could and pulled it out. It had a root to it, though. That's what was the weirdest part.
It had a root.
Yeah, it had like a root to it. There was an actual root.
You had a tree growing out of your foot,
or a sublimated twin. What the hell?
I don't know what it was, but as soon as I did that. Excruciating pain and lots of blood.
Oh my gosh.
Now, did that work or did you end up having to go to the doctor?
Well, it worked. I mean, I haven't gotten it back. I've checked into it every once in a while.
Come on, look at the success rate we have, Bean.
That's a good point.
I'm sure doctors would advise you differently, but our listeners say it works.
100% of the time, they did self-surgery, and they were happy. Your chance to win tickets to go see Pearl Jam at Sports Arena coming up later on this morning's program, and Dr. Drew next hour as well. Hey, it's time for a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Yeah! Click that mouse and open your browser. Plug your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
We take all the best viral videos of the week and we put them in one location at kevinandbean.com with the Internet Roundup. I don't shop at Kmart, and frankly, I am surprised that Kmart is still in business, but I root for them every year about this time when they unveil their new holiday commercials because they always upset the 1 million moms organization. Remember last year that controversy over their Ship My Pants ad? Remember that?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Well, they're back with a new ad. It's called Show Your Joe, and it's a bunch of guys in Joe Boxers. They have tuxedo tops on and Joe Boxer shorts on, and they're dancing. And every time they, like, shake that ass, you hear jingle bells.
Right.
And the joke is supposed to be that it's as if it's their testicles making the sounds. Okay?
Right.
But, I mean, it's it's just
they
guys.
They don't show it.
They don't show anything. It's guys dancing in boxers. So this ad is on the Internet. It's already got like over 8 million views. And 1 million moms is trying to get a protest going. They're trying to get people to start boycotting Kmart because they say it's, you know, it's
balls don't jingle, people.
They're saying it's offensive. You have to check out the video for yourself and try to see what all the fuss is about. But here's a little bit of what they call Show Your Joe.
By the way, it's pretty well done. They play
funny,
a good song.
It's funny, right? It's just funny. Yeah, that's all it is. All right, up next, everybody's talking about the Jean-Claude Van Damme commercial that he did for Volvo. We talked about it earlier in the week. It's where he's standing between the two trucks and he does the splits as the trucks are going backwards. Well, there's a million parodies of that already, but the best so far is Channing Tatum. He's in character, I guess, as Janko. He's on the set of his,
22 Jump Street.
22 Jump Street is the movie he's doing. So he attempts to do his own split. standing on a couple of boxes that some roadies are moving, and maybe it doesn't go so great.
The most epic of splits.
Smells. What is that?
So it doesn't work out so well for Ms. Yentsev on the ground. As soon as Mayor Rob Ford of Toronto started hitting the news, everybody thought the same thing, which is it's too bad Chris Farley is not still alive to play him on SNL because they are dead ringers for each other. So it's no surprise that somebody has put together the ultimate Rob Ford Chris Farley video mashup.
All right, when he's done, I'll rip his Frodo. I'll pull his eyes out. When he's dead, I'll make sure that motherfucker.
And I'll tell you one more thing. I want Holyfield.
When you see them together back-to-back in all these scenes, it's crazy how much they look alike. Funny or Die has a very funny video about the first gay bachelor. People have said, hey, they've had 28 seasons of the man and woman bachelor. When are we going to have our gay bachelor? Well, George Takei and Jesse Tyler Ferguson from Modern Family, who is playing the bachelor, explained that this doesn't work because the bachelors, all the contestants, start hooking up with themselves and completely ignore Jesse Tyler Ferguson, and he's not having any of it.
Sorry, bad news. Your date decided to stay in the house.
You guys! You're supposed to be competing over me. I'm the bachelor.
We're all bachelors, dude.
It just doesn't work that way when you have all the gay guys in the house. Our old friend K-Stu is about back. Kristen Stewart, the very talented actress who plays Kristen Stewart, the comedy. I'm sorry I don't have her name in front of me. We've had her on the show before. She does a great K-Stu. I don't know how much longer she can continue making these videos now that Kristen Stewart isn't doing the Twilight films anymore. But she is back with another one for the holiday season. This is K-Stu Explains Thanksgiving.
So, like, the Pilgrims and the Indians had this, like, big feast together. And they didn't even charge for the food. They just, like, gived it. And then they said thanks. And henceforth, thus was born the first Thanksgiving.
Well, she's so good at being Kristen Stewart, isn't she?
Yes, she is.
This is a very funny commercial. You got to check this out. It's a more of a visual than audio, but we wanted to call your attention to it. You know what a Rube Goldberg device is, Kevin? Does that name sound familiar to you?
No.
It's kind of like the old game. If you ever used to play the old game Match, I think it was called Matchbox, the one where you have a ball that rolls down a tube and then it goes up into a thing and then shoots up and
hits
a lever and then knocks over something else. I mean, and they're unbelievably elaborate to see the way these things are put together. Well, they have put a commercial together using all children's toys, and they have a bunch of little girls who are running the thing as they sing along to a song I think you might know and love.
It's time to change.
Very clever, called the Princess Machine. Well, we're all sad about Breaking Bad being gone. Here's a video that they're trying to get off the internet because they want to include it on the DVD box set that we're giving away this week on K-Rock of the ultimate Breaking Bad package of all the seasons. This is one of the extras that they did where they show an alternate ending to the way the season ends. And that's Walter White, who wakes up in bed next to his, TV wife from back when they used to be on the TV show that they were on together before. What was the name of Bryan Cranston's old show?
Something in the Middle. Kid in the Middle.
Malcolm in the Middle.
Yes. Exactly. So he wakes up with his TV wife, and he's just had this terrible, terrible dream.
And then there was this other little guy. He was a man-child kid who always looked like he was wearing his older brother's clothes. He would always say things like, hey, bitch. The B word. He would use the B word a lot. He would say, yo, B word. Yay, science, B words. Okay.
So funny to see Bryan Cranston back playing that old character on TV, because now we only think of him as the Breaking Bad guy, right?
That's true.
A couple of more clips in this week's Internet Roundup here on the Kevin DeBean Show. Our friend Pete Holmes is back with another great video. He's got this whole series of videos that he did for YouTube, and now he's been putting them on his TV show where he plays Professor X. And this time he's firing another X-Men member. Remember Jubilee? Jubilee, the former X-Men member?
Yep.
Well, he's firing her because, in 2013, her superpowers just are not up to snuff.
Jubilee.
Yeah.
You project pyrotechnic energy plasmoids, like little fireworks.
Yeah, I...
yeah, you're fired.
What?
You realize that I'm trying to put together a team of superheroes, not coordinate the finale of Nine Inch Nails at Lollapalooza.
And finally, in this week's Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup, our old friend Jimmy Kimmel had a special guest come out the other night, Chris Daughtry, who rose to fame on American Idol. He's one of the very few successful acts that has come out who still continues to sell a lot of records. But he was on doing a special original song called The Ballad of Rob Ford. Now, this is all about our favorite mayor of Toronto.
Because Papa had spinach to make him strong. The Hulk bulked up. Someone did him wrong. Batman had Robin, Lone Ranger had Tonto. But I'm the drunk driving crack smoking mayor of Toronto.
Yes.
That's about right. You can see all these videos and so much more. Just go to kevinandbean.com. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:56.
So excited. One of the breakout TV stars of 2013 joins us in studio coming up right after the top of the hour. She is actress Uzo Aduba. She plays Crazy Eyes on Orange is the New Black, and she is amazing. Coming up in just a few minutes here on K-Rock. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on a Thursday. What? What are you guys laughing at?
Nothing.
Nothing at all.
Stop. Just... I thought there was a moment with.
There was, but it's 45 seconds long, and I didn't want to. I said it was too late.
Yeah, we don't want to eat up your time, Ralph.
Should have thought that an hour ago.
It's 45.
You don't need my time.
Maybe next hour we'll be running a little earlier and we can play it.
All right. Once again, I want to mention there's still a handful of tickets left for Hollywood Babylon this Saturday night at the Improv on Melrose.
No.
And also this week we announced our two big New Year's Eve shows at the Brea Improv. Brea went so well when we were down there. We decided to come back, and the first opportunity we had was to do New Year's Eve. So we're doing an 8 o'clock and a 10 o'clock show down there in Brea. If you're looking for something to do for New Year's Eve, go to improv.com for all of those tickets. Remember that thing about eating up time? Remember that thing? Remember the eating up time thing?
I don't remember that at all.
You don't remember that thing? Jennifer Lawrence
is the best.
The best. She's adorable. She's wonderful. She's magical. She was asked by Star Magazine if she feels a lot of pressure carrying a huge hit franchise like The Hunger Games on her shoulders. She responded, "I don't feel too much pressure. I'm going to get paid if I make a good movie or a bad movie." Come on! And then she was on Letterman last night. You see her on Letterman?
Did not.
No, but I'm sure she was adorable.
It turns out she had a bit of a medical scare. She had severe stomach pains. And she thought she might have had an ulcer.
Oh.
But it turns out it wasn't, so she called it a falser.
Okay.
And she had a unique way of describing her symptoms to David Letterman. Here's a little taste of her interview from last night. No? That didn't happen?
I don't know. There we go. All right. You ready?
Yeah. I went to the emergency room. I just had this really bad pain for like 3 weeks. And you can, you know, your pants so many times a day before you like have to go to the emergency room. Before you're like, I need to go to the hospital.
She's right. I mean, that's hard to argue.
Yeah, if you're S-ing your pants 3 times a day, you know, self-surgery or the hospital are your only options.
I got to see the preview of that, and I know people don't care what I think about movies
because
I'm very simple-minded, but it's awesome, and she's awesome.
Yes and yes.
I hear that this movie is even better than the last one, if that's possible, and the last one was great.
It's fantastic.
Speaking of talk shows, if you are a fan like I am of Anchorman...
Yes.
And you want to see Ron Burgundy. He's going to be interviewed by Conan O'Brien tonight. As Ron Burgundy. Ron Burgundy will come out and talk to Conan O'Brien and talk about his life and his adventures.
Awesome.
He hasn't been on since he announced the sequel. Ron came on, remember, playing the jazz flute in
that's
the band.
Right.
And he came on and talked about the sequel coming out. So that's on Conan tonight.
Spitchin'.
And if you're going to see the Arcade Fire show on tour... I'm not kidding now. Keep in mind there is a dress code.
Okay. Why?
This is for real. The Ticketmaster.com page says about the Arcade Fire Tour. Night of show, please wear formal attire and costume.
What does that mean?
It's a formal show. If you're in the audience, you have to dress formal.
Like in a suit?
Yes.
No.
Yes, you must. This is not a suggestion. You will be turned away from the arena if you're not properly dressed.
Assholes.
Even if you have a ticket?
Really?
You?
Really?
Security will enforce this policy.
They're drawing the line there.
Yes. Dress up or do not see the Arcade Fire show. That is for real. So I just want to give you a heads up. If you got tickets,
No,
this doesn't apply to
our show, right? This doesn't apply to Acoustic Christmas Night Number 2,
It
right?
does not. No, this is okay. just the Arcade Fire show. But if you're going to go...
You're lucky if you got tickets for Night Number 2.
Dress up a little bit. Show some class. Don't dress up like Kevin and Bean in your shorts like you're 8. With your Keds on and your Dennis the Menace overalls and your beanie hat. And your yo-yo and your Pop Rocks like you're a child. Dress like a man.
I gotta get a yo-yo.
Yeah.
I gotta get some Pop
Rocks.
You got
a yo-yo. You got some Pop Rocks. Yo-yo lives on the island and the Pop Rocks are in the head of the Vanilla Gorilla over here. Today's celebrity birthdays, Carly Rae Jepsen. Call me maybe.
Hey, I just met you. This is crazy. But here's my number. So call me maybe.
Still effing catchy.
It is an earwig.
Great song.
It'll last.
How
with you all
day. How old is she, Ralph?
She's 28 years old.
Remember when that song came out and we all thought she was like 15?
I sure did.
Yep.
Jenna Maloney is 29 years old today. Michael Strahan's 42. Alex James of Blur is 45 years old today, bassist for that band. Bjork turns 48. Ken Block, the rally car driver, is 46. Nicolette Sheridan of Desperate Housewives, 50 years old today. Brian Ritchie from the Violent Femmes is 53. And Goldie Hawn celebrates her 68th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Give me a little bit of that TV theme song that makes me so happy when I hear it. This is on my TV screen. That means I am sitting down to get my Orange is the New Black on. It's coming back for season 2 in 2014. We could not be more excited to welcome actress Uzo Aduba to our studio. She plays Suzanne Warren, better known as Crazy Eyes. Hi, Uzo.
Hi, Bean. Hi, Kevin.
She so nice, scares so nice me, Bean. I'm scared. Crazy Eyes is in the studio.
But when you look at her, she's very attractive, young, yes. friendly, outgoing woman. Nothing Crazy Eyes
no,
about
but
her.
You can tell there's Crazy Eyes dinner. You can tell. You can tell there's some truth to that character,
no.
right? Is there?
No.
Are you just a fantastic actress?
Well, I mean, I know I'm acting, that's for sure.
All right. Because you scare me.
How tough is it to channel Crazy Eyes? Because there's so much going on with that character. She's so innocent and childlike on one hand, but on the other hand, you know that she will cut you.
I mean, she told Alex that. I will cut you. I will cut you.
I have that clip, actually, when she has to admit that she does have a prison girlfriend.
I have a prison wife. Her name is Crazy Eyes. She follows me everywhere. What kind of crazy?
I will cut you!
That kind of crazy.
And by the way, there's no question in your mind that she will cut you.
Absolutely
not. That's not just an empty threat.
No, that's a woman.
I felt like you were going to cut me while I was watching.
Just reach through the screen.
Looking around to make sure I was by myself.
So tell us how you make Crazy Eyes happen. Like, what is your relationship with that character? And what do you know about her? What do you think about her? I'm just fascinated to get inside your head and how you play her so brilliantly.
Oh, well, I mean, that's an amazing question. I think that for me, I really was captured by what you said earlier about that innocence and that childlike quality.
Right.
There was a thing in the script for my first episode that literally there was a liner note that said, she's innocent like a child, except children aren't scary. And I thought, that's exactly right. That's
wow.
exactly who that woman is. So it made me realize, oh, she has an idea of who she is, and everything that she's doing is coming from a pure and honest place. She just wants to give love and share love, but she's just a click off. Everything she does is just a hair off.
Sometimes it's a bigger click than a hair.
Yes, it's a 2 or 3 clicks. The poem, it's just not, it doesn't land quite the way she wants it to,
right.
you know?
Yeah.
And there's a certain sadness to her also that you, I mean, as the viewer, you want to like hug her and make her, and let her know it's going to, you want to make her know it's going to be okay. But on the other hand, she's in a prison for an unspecified crime and you don't know what she's capable of. What I'm saying is you're confusing us. Crazy Eyes is confusing us, Uzo.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. You don't want to cross her at all. She is very clear about who she is, where she stands. Everything about her is a 10. She lives her life on a full out, you know? She loves it a 10. She hates it a 10. If you step between something she loves, step back.
Yeah.
Because you don't know what's going to happen.
Dive
very
back.
Quickly. Very, very quickly.
Here's another clip from the show, and this is I believe, you loving strongly.
And before I met you, the sun was like a yellow grape. But now, it looked like fire in the sky. Why? Because you light a fire inside me.
Yeah.
Piper's not having any of that either, by the way. She's nope. not in the market for a prison girlfriend.
She calls it wife, actually, but yeah.
Yeah.
True or false, Uzo, you did not audition to play Crazy Eyes.
True. Completely true.
What's that story?
I auditioned for another part in the show, and our casting director, Jen Houston, she had me in, and she said, I just remember finishing, and she was like, that was really great. And I thought, okay, you know, whatever. And then
you've heard that before.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Exactly. And then I got a phone call from my representation, and they said, we have some really great news for you. I was like, okay, what is it? And they're like, you remember that audition you went on for a show called Orange is the New Black? And I was like, totally. I'm like, well, you didn't get it.
And I was hey, thanks for the good news.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, when? Exactly, right? Exactly. And so they said, but they would like to offer you another part. And they watched my tape, and they had this other part, Crazy Eyes, that they thought I would be right for, which also was a little like...
That's a little unsettling,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Do you go back to her and go, what made you think I'm off kilter enough exactly, to play that role?
Exactly. That's exactly right. I was like, what was the takeaway from that audition? So don't be crazy. But I was really happy for it. And to be honest, doing this part now and playing, you know, Crazy Eyes, Suzanne, I call her because she's really close to me now.
Sure.
I couldn't imagine doing anything.
Is she in the studio with you right now? I just want to clarify.
Well, you know, I can check. Well,
yeah, no. Are you hearing voices in your head? What's happening?
I think they're you coming.
Okay, good.
Airport.
All right, good. Good.
All right. What about what they're doing to your hair? You like it or you don't like it?
Because
you have this beautiful hair in real life, and then you go in and they, you know, they knock it all down and put it into horns.
Well, you know,
like the devil.
I wore it like that in my audition.
Oh, really?
That was how I wore it in my audition.
I wonder what made him think Crazy Eyes. Can't figure that out.
The Batu knots. I mean, they're coming back, though. Yes. They're coming back.
Forgive me if this is a stupid question, but there's so much Hollywood magic that I just don't understand. Do they do anything to your eyes to make them appear that way? Or is that just you doing that with your face? Just that's how you're acting it?
In terms of like the size of my eyes?
Yeah, just in terms of the way they make them. It just seems so intense. Like she just burns through you when she looks at you.
No, that's just
no
me.
Special effects.
No
that's
special
just
effects.
You.
It's just me.
That's impressive.
And here in the studio, you have sweet eyes.
Thank you.
You really do. I mean, and then you look at you on the TV show and you go, those eyes would kill me in 5
Don't cross
seconds.
Her. Don't cross Uzo.
Right.
Don't cross
Let me ask you one more thing. Then we have to take a break again with actress Uzo Aduba. We're talking about Netflix's Orange is the New Black, which there is no season for. They're all available all the time. So if you haven't come to the party yet, please get on your Netflix and watch this show. But when you auditioned for this, you knew it was going to be a Netflix show. That's what it was going to be originally, right? It's not like this started on a network. This was always Netflix original programming, right?
It was always a Netflix show.
And how did you feel about that? Did you feel like this wasn't as good as being on TV, or did you not realize, or did you realize ahead of the rest of us that this was going to be, you know, it was just going to explode and take over the world?
You know, I'd never really even thought about it, to be honest, as far as whether it was a good or bad thing. I know I was excited because Jenji Kohan was attached to it, and because
that's how created Weeds.
Exactly, and she's a
girl, sorry.
She's a brilliant writer, and I already had a Netflix account, so I thought that was cool.
You know? So I can see it.
I can watch it. I just knew that I remember reading, and this is completely true, I remember reading it that summer. It was my first summer ever auditioning for, you know, TV shows and stuff, and I remember it stuck out from the rest of the pack.
Is that right?
Yeah. And I remember reading it and just thinking to myself, nothing special, but just thinking, oh, that was really good. I would love to be a part of something like that.
Wow. And it turned out to be, I mean, this was even, remember, folks, ahead of Arrested Development coming back to Netflix. It turned out to just be a game changer. Netflix was already popular, but it just gained a millionfold as a result of your show, because now it was like not having HBO. You couldn't watch the best show on TV at the time. So, I mean, it really did up their game so much. And you guys must all be so proud of that.
We feel proud of it. You know, I do feel proud of it. I feel proud of being part of a show that when we were making it, I felt excited by it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, when we were when you go to work and
this
you're watching
good stuff,
absolutely. Yeah. And you're sitting there with your cast, and you think, "Oh my gosh, I'm watching you on the screen and thinking, wow, that was really awesome." Or you're playing a scene with somebody and thinking, "Oh my gosh, I didn't know you were going to go in like that on the
right.
rap, Danielle and Samir." You know,
we're kind of the opposite on this show. We focus on our failures.
We don't look around and go, "Everybody is doing good work."
Well, there aren't a lot of bright spots in the Kevin Abid world. All right, we need to take a break. Actress Uzo Aduba is here on the Kevin Abid Show. Again, we're talking about Netflix's Orange is the New Black. We have so many more questions about women's prison, about some of these brilliant actresses that you work with on the show, too. And we'll talk more with our guest after this on K-Rock. Actress Uzo Aduba from Orange is the New Black. She's Crazy Eyes on the show, is in studio with us. Hey, you got anything you need to ask Dr. We need to ask Dr. Drew for? You got any... you know, boils or anything like that. You need help. Okay.
What kind of question is that?
Well, I'm just saying we have free medical care available. If you need any help,
what
let
do
us
you
know.
Care about
boils. No. Oh, that just came to mind.
Well,
just
why?
Whatever.
No, I do not.
All right. We kind of we're so excited that you walked into the studio that we started jumping on you with all these Crazy Eyes questions. But I think we did a disservice to our listeners by not properly setting up what Orange is the New Black is all about. It is a show that is on Netflix. How many episodes were there in season one? Is 14? Is that right? Something like that?
13. We have
13 episodes, and it's based on a book by a real live person named Piper Chapman. She wrote a book about going away to prison. And Taylor Schilling, who, by the way, we've also had in on the Kevin Abid Show, and she was delightful. Uzo.
Yes.
She plays Piper Chapman, and then the rest of the women's prison is just populated with all of these characters. And what's great about it, I think, as a viewer, and maybe you feel this way as an actress too, is these characters are not just hanging around on the perimeters of the scene so that the main actors can do their thing. Every single character, it seems like, in this prison that we've been introduced to is important and we identify with. And they spend the time on the show to tease out the backstories and make us care about all these characters. And that's so remarkable in television these days to see that.
Mm-hmm. I 100% agree. I think that's
I apologize there was no question at the end of that.
My line. It's my line. Okay, my line.
Okay, your turn.
Yes. I 100% agree with that. I think what's exciting about the show, like our writers, what they've done so brilliantly is brought to life all these people in the ensemble and people that you meet initially and form these really strong opinions about, and then as the show proceeds on, you start to learn more about them, and then it's flipped on its head, kind of like,
right.
Whoa, that's not at all who I thought that person was.
Right.
And I'm sure there are a lot of people who, just because these women are in prison, think that they're in the margins of society, or they don't matter, or we don't care about it. And then you find out that some of these people just have heartbreaking backstories, and they really have had so many struggles. I mean, look at Tasty, for God's sakes. Does anything break your heart more than Tasty getting out of prison, you know?
Yes, and you realize it starts to open up a conversation of, you know, what comes first, the chicken or the egg, you know, like product of environment or response to environment, you know? And her feeling as though she has no place outside of the prison walls.
Right.
That it's enough to make you want to come back to prison, you know, that you've been so institutionalized, you know? It's so interesting.
This might be a stupid question. I'm sorry if it is. But women's prison, I mean, we all think. You know what I mean? Like, so how much, how do you learn about that? Did you visit? Did you just read the script, or what's your participation in that? How do you learn about what it's actually like? Because you do get the idea, the sense that the person that's writing this has been there and it's real.
Well, totally. I mean, absolutely. The real Piper Kerman, she, you know, obviously I read her book, and I used to watch a lot of like the MSNBC, you know,
locked up and all of that,
and just be like,
locked up abroad.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, so terrifying. But it's like I used to watch that and think, oh my gosh, this is crazy. Watch those shows, so I was familiar with it. But a lot of the characters, I think what we found is in the writing, and our writers, Jenji and her entire team, they had all gone to visit the system and spent a lot of time to see, you know, to learn more about like the prison world. And our set, it's crazy when you look at it, when you go in, it feels like you are actually stepping into a prison. Everything about it is so dank and like dark. There's no window, there aren't any windows, you know, it's just really intense. But that was my experience, and so we're back. Research.
Are we going to find out in season two what Suzanne, Crazy Eyes, is in prison for?
I don't know. I guess we'll have to watch season two.
When does season two come out?
Season two comes out in 2014.
Right, but when?
I don't know, Kevin. I don't
know. Come on!
I don't know. I don't know.
That's the thing that's frustrating is that you can watch it. You can binge watch it. And I guarantee if you haven't seen Orange is the New Black, go to Netflix, watch the first one.
Mm.
I challenge you to only watch the first one. It's not possible. You have to then binge watch and you'll watch the whole thing. And then it's a long time between seasons. How many have you shot?
It can be. We have shot. We started shooting in at the end of July.
Okay.
So, I'm not super sure on the number. Like, but we're almost about halfway through.
How long do you think the time period was in real time of the first season? Was it about 3 months went by? Do you think?
Oh, that's a great question.
I was trying to figure out because I know the holidays came into play. I remember, you know, yeah, you had Thanksgiving, you had Christmas. So,
yeah, she. I think it was probably about like 2.5 months. I want to say
because I'm wondering because you know Piper's only in prison for a year, I think, or something like that. But as a result of some bad things that happened at the end of last season,
right.
I'm wondering if that's been extended.
That's
but
right.
But you probably can't say much about that either. I imagine
I can't say much about that. No, I can't. But we certainly know we have a big question mark up in the air as to what happened to her after that.
All right, what can you tell us? What can you tell us about the next season?
Okay. That I can tell you that we have a new guest on our show, Lorraine Toussaint.
Okay.
The brilliant Lorraine Toussaint, who plays a character named V, and she on the outside was a drug runner who used kids
To
mule her drugs around. And she comes in here, boy, to Litchfield, and it's going to be interesting. That's all I can say. Get excited. Hashtag get into it.
Can you tell us, because there was so much maybe misreported about Laura Prepon not participating or not participating much in season two, how much will we see her next year?
You know, I don't have a direct answer on that. I know Laura is a part of our show. Mm-hmm. She is fantastic. She is as brilliant this season as she was the last. And I think the audience can be excited to see Alex.
That was so diplomatically put.
That was.
You're welcome.
Are you sure you're not in politics? Because that was about as vague as it could be.
Well, let me tell you, the real reason why I'm here today is I'm running for comptroller of the city of New York.
Oh, you got our vote.
All right. I can't believe I'm so sad that we're already out of time for you, Uzo. But my gosh, is it so fun. We can't tell you how much of a fan we are of yours and of the show. We're so happy to meet you, and we're so excited about the show coming back in 2014. And thank you very much for the time. We really enjoyed it.
Thank you so much for having me, you guys. You guys are amazing.
You bet.
Dr. Drew Pinsky joins us every Thursday morning on The Kevin and Bean Show. He is, of course, the co-host of Loveline 5 nights a week here on K-Rock. You can watch him on Dr. Drew On Call, HLN, Monday through Fridays at 6 p.m. And then he has a wide variety of podcasts available, including the Dr. Drew podcast, the Adam and Dr. Drew podcast, the Mike and Dr. Drew podcast. In other words, he's the busiest medical doctor we've ever met, and we're happy that he carves out some time for us each week on The Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Doc, how are you, man?
Hey, Bean, what's up?
So great to have you on. We wanted to talk about Brittany Murphy, who we were very surprised to see pop up back in the news. Now, she's been gone about 4 years. She was the very popular actress who kind of died under mysterious circumstances. I know you've been talking about this on the HLN show a little bit. What do you know about this, and why is this back in the news, Doctor?
Well, her father apparently did a hair analysis alleging foul play and found high levels of some kind of peculiar heavy metals in her hair. And they are hair metals that are found. Excuse me, they're metal, heavy metals that are found in insecticides and rat poison. Weird, huh?
Really? Mm-hmm. And so that's not normal. And so he figured someone may have been poisoning her.
By poisoning her, and then he wants the husband to be studied as well. Remember, Munjak died of a few months later of the exact same thing, which is basically pneumonia. He was found to have pneumonia and anemia, which is something else that caused by heavy metals exposure. But what do you guys think?
Is it possible that they just got it from the environment, from the place they lived?
Or? Well, I think it's all BS.
Oh, you do? I don't know.
I the fact is there's also the same heavy metals found in hair dye.
Ah.
Hair dye. Also, sometimes it's found in containers that they store, you know, down at the coroner's office. They can store these specimens in so it can leach out of the specimen container. And listen, now we are speculating all over the none of us know this woman at all. We have no ability to observe what's going on with her. But towards the end, it's been reported that she was taking a lot of prescription medication.
Okay.
It's also been reported that she was getting quite paranoid. They had like 55 cameras installed in their house and, you know, like retinal scans and things to get in and out of crazy stuff, which suggests something's going on. And guess what? Addicts, particularly people using lots of opiates, frequently die of pneumonia. That happens a lot.
Isn't that interesting? Now, the coroner's office at the time ruled that she died of pneumonia, anemia, and prescription drug intoxication.
Yeah.
But what did he die of? I mean, he wasn't in the same kind of health problem. Didn't have the same kind of health problem she did he?
No, I don't have that off the top of my head, but I do know it was pneumonia and anemia, the same thing. And they probably were doing it together, I mean, to be fair, right? I mean, it's when people are doing a bunch of substances die, you got to connect the dots to the substances.
Well, that's he's connecting the dots, but not back to the substances. He's saying somebody else did it.
Yeah, he's saying somebody else did it. And I think we haven't heard the last of it. I think he's going to push on this a bit. I think they're going to test other organs, which I will feel totally differently, by the way, if they come back with heavy metals in other tissue. If that's the case, then they got some explaining to do.
Something other than hair.
Something that can be exposed to hair dye.
Right.
Let me ask you this, Dr. Drew, and I'm asking just for a friend. Is it easy to poison somebody and get away with it?
Kevin. Yeah. Yeah. Bean is a peculiar fellow.
Yeah, I know.
And one of the features of being like that is sometimes they don't appreciate that you really kind of have feelings or exist.
Oh, I know.
So these are guys that can, like, stuff you out and I didn't really notice.
Well, so don't answer this question.
Hear you guys.
Don't answer this question honestly.
I can hear
then.
What you're talking about. I was just wondering.
Tell
are there
no.
Some,
it's impossible
some
to get away with. It's impossible to get away with.
I thought maybe there were some poisons that maybe don't show up so much at the autopsy. That's all. It's just information I'm asking about.
You know, I think people that do that kind of stuff use radioactive things. But even then, this stuff all shows up. I don't know anyway. I don't know much about this topic, but I can imagine that there are things that people have to really reach to be tested for that might not always be routinely tested for. So,
right.
I mean, I'm sure with your incredible curiosity,
yeah,
you'll be able to research this and stuff out, Kevin, with no trouble.
So, Dr. Drew, if I end up dead...
Isn't it interesting that he assumed it was you I was trying to kill, Kevin?
Well, I mean, I'm on the list, certainly. Dr. Drew, if I end up dead, so you're gonna test, different body organs.
We'll go crazy.
All right,
good. I'll insist that everything conceivable... We'll call the FBI and we'll get into it. So international means international man of mystery.
Let's save this tape too, just in case.
Okay.
Let me ask you one more thing just before we put a button on this, Dr. Drew. You're very kind to spend the time with us today, and I have to ask because this is the father who's kind of pushing for this inquiry. You've seen a million times complete denial from family members about what's going on with somebody who's in trouble with the law or somebody who has a health crisis. I mean, how many people have you had on your show that are family members of people accused of heinous crimes, and they're like, I absolutely know he didn't do it, just because they won't allow their brains to admit that they did it.
That's right. It's
that
really
sounds
tough.
Like this is what this is he just can't accept the way he lost his daughter, and he's reaching out for it to have some bigger meaning, right?
Well, I completely agree, Ben, and that to me just makes me very sad. It's really rough. Of course, it's a terrible tragedy, and it's tough for family members. But if you want to see great examples of denial, just look on up to Toronto and watch them, Rob Ford's family and how they're behaving. And he, too, he's one of the most extraordinary sort of that stuff. When we're trying to break through denial, Rob Ford is manifesting, the mayor up there.
One of the most extraordinary mayors, you were going to say?
No, one of those extraordinary examples of all the manifestations of denial. He's doing all the usual dance. And if you ever wonder what that's like to deal with, just watch him.
It's funny that he's dancing that much and is still that fat.
I know. I heard somebody said last night that what we've learned from this is that people that big just shouldn't move around because he keeps bumping into things or knocking people over.
Knocking a woman over.
All right, Dr. Drew on call on HLN Monday through Friday nights at 6 and then 5 nights a week here on Loveline. Go to drdrew.com or podcast1.com for all the great podcasts. Thanks, Doc.
Thank you, guys.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
A lot of people pay attention to a TV show if they're in love with it. Let's say you watch Homeland every week. You know exactly what's going on. You know the characters. There's more people that sort of pay attention to pop culture and sort of have seen you around. And when you play roles like this where you're in Iranian intelligence and you're considered the enemy and a possible terrorist, do you get the double look on the street from people who don't know where they know you from and perhaps are trying to figure out, who you are, where they've seen you, and they look at you with that stink eye?
Well, that's a dumb question.
Okay, all right.
That was A Moment
with Kevin.
It may have been dumb. It may have been dumb, but in my defense, it was asked quite well.
It may have been dumb. At least it was lengthy.
It was very long.
What are you filibustering? Were you trying to pass some legislation here in the studio that you didn't care for?
He was a perfectly fine guest, too. He had good answers, and he was in a good mood. And I just decided for some reason that I needed to take over into a monologue.
Go off into a one-act play?
Not sure why. A one-man show.
That was pretty strong.
How about,
because of the kind of roles you play, do you get funny looks from people?
Could I have asked that better?
In about an hour or less.
Probably.
All right, it is 8:56 of the Kevin and Bean Show. Time for another look at the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph Garvin.
It's happening!
What's happening?
It's happening!
What?
Monty Python's Flying Circus!
Never seen Ralph so happy in all my life.
Getting back together again. First live performance since 1980. Listen, here's the thing. Some people are like this for certain bands. Have you heard that, we were just talking yesterday about Outkast getting back together again. A lot of Outkast fans very happy. First time in 6 years those guys can be performing together again.
Sure.
I don't know. Whoever your favorite band is that have split up. If you hear
Rage Against the Machine.
Rage, for example.
Yep.
When they get back together, that's going to be an important day in your life, and you're going to make a point of getting those tickets, right?
No question.
Yeah, well, that's how I feel about comedy. And Monty Python, which is a huge influence on me when I was a kid. They are getting back together again. They revealed this morning at a press conference out of London. They'll be performing at the O2 Arena in London on July 1st next year, 2014.
Now, forgive me for not knowing, but what will they be doing on stage? What's the act?
They will perform sketches from their legendary television show live in front of the audience.
Okay.
And when they do it live, they always sort of tinker with it and twist it and make it update and topical and stuff. And for example, you're probably not a big fan of Monty Python.
I saw some of the movies and I liked them.
Did you ever watch any of the series?
I don't think so.
Parrot sketch where the guy comes back to a pet shop to return his dead parrot.
No, I didn't see that.
And the guy behind the counter insists that the parrot is not dead.
No,
he comes up with a series of reasons why. No, he's sleeping. He's pining for the fjords. He's got a lot of reasons why. Until Cleese says, the parrot is stapled to the perch. I mean, it's very funny. And they will go and they'll do classic sketches like that live in front of the audience. And they've got musical numbers they do. I'm a lumberjack and I'm okay. Sleep all night and I work all day. And the lumberjack goes on singing about his life as a lumberjack until he reveals that he's wearing women's underwear. He likes to hang around in gay bars and stuff. So, yeah, they'll perform all their greatest hits, I'm sure, with a brand new twist. And the only sad part, of course, is the fact that Graham Chapman, the sixth member of the comedy troupe, died in 1989. And I think that's why they're calling this current show Monty Python Live Mostly. And the image, the poster for the show is a giant foot in a graveyard with the motto, one down, five to go. So the gentleman acknowledging their advanced age, which I think is very funny.
But this is America. I want it now.
I want it now, too. Even the press conference was funny. They all sat behind the wrong name cards.
Oh, that's funny.
Like Eric Idle was behind John Cleese's name card. And the first woman to ask a question was an interviewer, a journalist from Spain. And she asked a rather lengthy question. And Michael Palin said, well, nobody expect the Spanish Inquisition, which is one of their famous sketches. So I'm looking forward to that. So I'll be in London in July.
Was the question that the Spanish reporter asked as long as Kevin's question to our homeland guest?
No. Nothing ever has been.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was unfortunate.
Even big-time Oscar-winning actors, I think, still get nervous about their careers and want to work with certain people. And so such was the case with Kevin Spacey. He always wanted to be in a Woody Allen movie, and he felt like Woody Allen had no idea who he was.
Really?
So what he did was he, with his own money, shelled out for a Netflix subscription in Woody Allen's name and sent it to him so he could watch House of Cards.
Interesting.
Woody wasn't signed up with Netflix.
Check me out in this.
Look, I paid for it. You got a full Netflix subscription. Check out the House of Cards. And apparently it worked. Woody got a hold of Kevin Spacey and said he's considering him for his next film.
Isn't it funny that Kevin Spacey, at this point, has to try and introduce himself to people who don't know him?
I come up with cheesy ways to get work.
That's crazy.
Kevin's kind of proud of the fact that it worked. And he said, I might write to Martin Scorsese next. So, trying to work with his heroes. Jennifer Lawrence. Boy, she's the good deal. Tell Star Magazine, when they asked her if she feels a lot of pressure carrying her huge hit franchise, The Hunger Games, she said, I don't feel too much pressure. I'm going to get paid if I make a good movie or a bad one.
I like that.
Girl with some perspective. And of course, congratulations to Adam Levine of Maroon 5. People magazine yesterday named him the sexiest man alive. Really? Really?
Adam Levine of Maroon 5.
Well, not and Maroon 5, of Maroon 5. Yeah. Just Adam Levine, you know, his work on The Voice and everything else. Sexiest man alive, according to People magazine.
There was a lot of dissension on the internet from the ladies about that choice.
Yeah, I don't think... Here's some of the comments. Here's some of the comments. Adam is scrawny, giraffe-necked, manorexic, serial model dater with a nasal whiny voice. So those were some of the compliments.
I think as long as guys like Ryan Gosling and Michael Fassbender are around, I don't think the ladies have much time for Adam Levine.
Yeah, the guys who were considered. People magazine made the mistake of listing some of the other considerations people they're thinking about they didn't give the title to. Like Idris Elba from Thor. Come on.
Yeah.
I'd do him. Yeah. That's how sexy he is. Justin Throw, David Beckham, Justin Timberlake, Chris Pine.
Sure.
A lot of guys.
There's all those guys.
Seems sexier than...
I wonder if it's because it's People Magazine, Ralph, if you have to accept the honor and agree to a photo shoot and an interview and all that stuff, and maybe some of the bigger names aren't interested in being on People Magazine.
Maybe. I don't know, why wouldn't you be? It's People. It's not like it's National Enquirer or something. It's a reputable mag. Today's celebrity birthday is Goldie Hawn, 68. Brian Ritchie of the Violent Femmes turns 53. Nicolette Sheridan is 50. Bjork is 48. Ugh. Another birthday for her. When will those stop?
Can't wait to talk to her tomorrow about her birthday celebration.
Ken Block is 46. Alex James of Blur is 45. Michael Strahan, footballer turned TV host, is 42. Jenna Maloney is 29. And Carly Rae Jepsen turns 28 years old today.
Just met you, and this is crazy, but here's my number, so call me maybe.
I like to call her maybe, you know what I'm saying?
No.
No.
Like call her maybe, you know what I'm saying?
No.
No.
I like to call her right in the maybe, you know what I'm saying?
Nope.
Nothing?
I'm not getting that.
Should we talk about our game coming up?
Let's do. If you want to go see Pearl Jam and you know their lyrics, you might want to call now, 1-800-520-1067. We'll give those tickets away.
Standing on! Woo! Encore!
Okay. It's over.
Encore!
I don't think there's going to be an encore.
These guys aren't coming back,
are they? No, they're not.
Let it go, Ralph.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 10 minutes after 9 o'clock.
All week long, we've been giving you chances to win your tickets to see Pearl Jam, and now it's your chance at 1-800-520-1067 with a game we like to call Wheel of Celebrity Voices.
It's the Wheel of Celebrities, the Wheel of Celebrities. It's the Wheel of Celebrities, Wheel of Celebrities.
Should we rethink that intro?
No.
No, all right.
Magic.
We have Sylvester Stallone.
In the next room.
In the next room.
Yep.
William Shatner.
He's there, too. I can see him right through the window.
Mumford.
Hey, Bill.
Is in there.
Homer Simpson, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Al Pacino, Hulk Hogan. It's hard to believe he's here, but he is.
The Hulkster?
Yeah, he's sure. Christopher Walken.
Sure.
Pat O'Brien.
They're all hanging out. Pat O'Brien's so happy because now he can call them all his friends.
And Vin Diesel.
Vin's here.
He's also on the list.
Oh, I can't wait to see me talk to Vin.
It's interesting that Vin and the Queen have never been seen in the same location at the same time.
That's true.
Then I'm going to learn.
All right, so the way the game is played, if I recall, is we get a listener on the line and what? We spin the... How does it work?
The wheel. It lands on a celebrity voice, and then that celebrity reads the lyrics to a Pearl Jam song, and they have to identify the song.
Very simple.
Okay. And if they're right, they go into the drawing to win the tickets for the sports arena. We'll take them in order and start with line one. This is Eddie, and he's up first.
Hey, Eddie.
Hi, everybody. Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
Hi. Hi, Eddie.
All right. Good luck. It lands on Al Pacino.
Ooh-ah.
Hi, Al. How you doing?
Yeah.
You got in here in a hurry from the other room.
Well, I'm not slow. Here we go. Freezing. Rests his head on a pillow made of concrete. Again. Oh. Feeling maybe he'll see a little better days. Set of days. Ooh, yeah.
That's Why Go.
That's what
song? I'm sorry?
Why Go?
No, that's Even Flow.
Rest his head on a pillow made of concrete.
All right, thank you.
Come on!
Eddie. Thank you, Al Pacino.
How do you not know that?
Let's go to Melody.
I'm out of order. You're out of order.
Al. No,
this whole game's out of order.
He just didn't know the answer, Al. That's all.
Hi, Melody.
Hi, guys.
Well, we're going to spin the wheel. If it doesn't land on you again, you're going to have to step out.
Oh, I'd like to see you try to move me, Kevin.
Well, I'm just asking you nicely
would. Bring it on, Kevin, because you got a big head.
William Shatner. Landed on William Shatner.
Hi, Bill. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Kevin Levine. Hi.
Very good. Thank you.
All right, so you're going to read some lyrics, and then Melody's going to tell us what song you're doing.
Seated on a porch, a letter sat. Then you said, I'm going to leave it again. Once I saw her on a beach of weathered sand. And on the sand, I want to leave it again.
Melody, what song?
Oh, God.
It's a Pearl Jam song, if that helps, if you just want to guess.
Yeah. Better Man.
I'm sorry.
I want to leave it again.
Yeah,
sorry. It's Yellow Ledbetter. All right. Thank you for the call.
Thanks for playing. All right. 0 for 2 so far. Allie is up next. Let's see how she does. You know, usually the ladies are pretty good with song lyrics. Let's see if Allie can get this one.
Allie is a brain coach. I need your business card.
We need to hire you, Allie.
We're going to book you some time with Allie.
All right, let's spin the wheel and see who it lands on. Oh, Sylvester Stallone.
How are you guys doing?
We're good. How are you, Sylvester?
How are you? Very nice to be here. I'm glad you invited me, and I'll come here and do this thing, you know?
Do some Pearl Jam lyrics.
Yeah, Pearl Jam, yeah.
All right. Allie's counting on you.
All right, here we go. He hit me with a surprise left. My jaw left hurting, dropped wide open, just like the day I heard.
Sounds like you're talking about one of your boxing matches, right?
That's
there,
right. I'll fight the fight.
No one's asking.
Fight the big fight.
Nobody's asking you to fight.
Yeah.
Jeremy.
Yeah.
He hit me with a surprise laugh.
Nicely done.
See, she's a brain coach, so her brain will help her do that.
Right.
You need some help.
You might need Allie as well.
Her brain helps her figure things out. Because the brain is important in that arena. You know?
We're going to put you on hold, my dear. You are in the drawing. We've got time for a couple more contestants. I believe Jason is up next. He's on line 4.
Hi, Jason.
Kevin, Bean, Lisa, Ralph, good morning.
You ready for your celebrity to read the Pearl Jam lyrics?
I sure hope so.
Oh, that was a good spin right there. That one felt good. And it is Mumford. Mumford, ladies and gentlemen.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean.
Hi, Mumford.
It's nice to see you again.
Well, it's good to
I'm
see
really
you.
I'm happy to be here on your show. Here on your show.
Okay, so that's not the song, Jason. That's not the Pearl Jam song. Now.
Just the greeting.
Mumford will do a Pearl Jam song.
There in the road straight ahead, a car stalled, the engine was dead. I couldn't stop, so I swerved to the right. I'll never forget the sound that night.
Jason, Pearl Jam song?
That is, jeez.
I'm sorry, we were looking for Last Kiss.
Yeah, you know, I don't understand a word he says. I would do terrible at this game.
All right.
Ready?
One more contestant. This is going to be David. He's up next.
Hi, David.
Fire beer mug.
Exactly.
Indeed.
All right. You ready?
Ouch. Wow, the wheel.
Kevin can't spin a wheel. That's how.
I just stabbed myself.
Can't your two-year-old spin a wheel, Ralph?
Yes.
Landed on Vin Diesel.
Woo!
Vin Diesel!
Vin, come on in.
Love to see you, Vin.
Hi. Hi.
You all right, Vin? You got a cold?
Here's a Pearl Jam song. I know someday you'll have a beautiful life. I know you'll be a star in somebody else's sky. But why can't it be mine?
Better Man.
I'm sorry.
No, sorry.
I'm sorry. Looking for Black.
It was clearly Black. What a fantastic impression that was, huh?
Can I hear you say white meat, dark meat, all will be carved?
White meat, dark meat, all will be carved.
Yeah, very nice. Yeah. Guys, I think we got to give it to Allie on line 3. She was the only one who was able to identify.
We have to do a drawing.
Oh, it's Allie!
Oh, my God!
Brain coach!
Brain coach!
Brain coach!
Brain coach! Thank you. Enjoy the show. You and me and Sylvester Stallone. And now what happens when Twitter falls into the wrong hands?
That's right.
tweet.
Bean!
How dare you? Why is this necessary?
How dare us? How dare you?
Why is it necessary? That's my point.
Hell?
At what point do you stop tweeting garbage?
Here's the thing, though. Ralph tries, I try, most of you try, to be somewhat interesting, somewhat funny, informational, whatever.
Topical?
Topical, whatever. But your intent is for people to like what you're tweeting. Bean doesn't have that.
Nope.
He doesn't have any interest in people enjoying his tweets.
I stand by my tweets.
For Bean, tweeting is masturbation 140 characters at a time.
That's correct.
That's all it is. It's just self-pleasure.
That's correct.
How dare
That's
you.
That's all it is.
And we may fail, but at least we're trying. So it's time for...
That's right.
Tweet.
Bean!
Well, at least Bean tries to stay topical when he tweets.
Thank you, Ralph.
Come back to us, Billy Ocean. All is forgiven.
Okay.
So, tweet.
Bean.
That happened.
I'm listening to a Billy Ocean record the other day, and I'm thinking, where did he go? Like, what happened? How did we lose Billy Ocean?
Okay,
I have two problems.
Isn't it time for him to return?
I have two problems with that.
One is, you're listening to that. Right? That's problem one. Problem two, who cares what happened to him?
I just feel like it's mysterious that he just vanished, and I'd like him back on the
Problem
music
three
scene.
Is that you don't understand that in this feature, we're not looking for more details on the tweet. We wish was less of it.
I see.
Remind me to tell you about a knife fight I once got in, arguing over Eddie Rabbit's Driving My Life Away versus I Love a Rainy Night.
I don't, it's a hell of a story.
Slow news day? I just read this headline. A New Jersey man says he enjoys looking like Bill Cosby.
Listen to him laugh.
Doesn't that strike you as a silly headline for a news article?
And it's a sillier tweet.
It's real, though. That happened.
That's tweet.
Somebody wrote an article about that guy because he looks like Bill Cosby. I just found that fascinating.
Right. Okay. Listen, this is the crux of the issue. You found it fascinating. But you don't have the ability to say, I'm probably the only one.
I'm sure there are other people who follow me on Twitter who also were interested to see that there was an article such as that.
Well, a pox on them, sir. I've randomly heard What a Fool Believes so many times today, and I'm starting to take it personally.
You listen to bad music.
What a Fool Believes is...
First of all.
Doobie Brothers?
Yes.
From 1979. The 70s?
Yes.
Stop listening to wherever you hear that. my advice.
Is the only radio you own a time machine?
Billy Tweet.
Billy Ocean, Eddie Rabbit, and the Doobie Brothers.
I only listen to AM. You know that. That's where the only good music is.
You only listen to AM from 1978.
That's right.
Tweet.
Beam.
What the hell? Are you the best at anything? Because I'm the best at pulling my car up to the gas pump on the opposite side of where the nozzle goes.
You guys know what that's like. That's a frustrating and embarrassing thing that happens.
No, I know. I don't. I've never done that.
I have. You just get back in the car and turn around.
Because there's an arrow on your gas gauge.
I'm
on
aware
your dash. It shows you what side of the car your nozzle is.
I don't want to be the damn fool who has to look at the cheat sheet every time he puts gas in his own car that he's been driving for years. So I think, I got this. I know what side it's on. And then I pull up and I'm always wrong. That's my point. Always wrong.
What's up with gas pumps?
Thanks for that
tweet.
Bean
doing his horrible gas pump chunk.
I don't have a chunk. Just a tweet.
Why does the weatherman call it partly cloudy instead of mostly sunny? They mean the same thing, right?
This has been a long time problem Bean has had with the weather forecasting. As you know, he's obsessed with A, weather, and B, weather on the news.
Yeah. I do love the weather. That is actually true.
What possible difference could it make?
Look, wouldn't you feel differently about the day you were heading out into if you heard it was mostly sunny versus partly cloudy? That's all. That's my only point. I'm a half glass full kind of guy. You know what an optimist I am, you guys.
Salient point. I got to give you that.
And finally, that hopeful moment boarding every flight where you don't know who your seatmate is yet, but you imagine it could be Weird Al Yankovic.
Come on.
That's got to happen to somebody out there, right? Somebody doesn't know it. They don't expect it. They get on their plane. Boom! They're sitting next to Weird Al. It's the happiest day in their life. One day, I'm hoping that's me. You guys haven't ever thought about who you're going to be sitting next to on the plane.
I usually hope it's a hot chick.
Only hot chick. That's it. I'm with Ralph. You think, hey, I hope a hot chick sits here.
That's you never thought it was a, I never hoped it was a hairy parody artist. Not once.
You would not be excited if you got on a plane and Weird Al was your seatmate. That'd be dope.
Not, but not really, because I don't like to talk on planes, really. So, and I'm sure Al doesn't.
And neither does Al.
You sure the hell would if Al were your seatmate,
I wouldn't,
though.
Here's
you
the
wouldn't
thing.
Talk to Al.
Al would take his life if he sat next to you on a plane.
Yeah.
How dare
Here's
you.
A tweet from Al. Hopefully boarding every flight, hoping that Bean is not my seatmate. Hashtag asshole.
Thanks for that tweet. Come on. We don't have to play it again.
Oh,
we just
yeah.
played it last hour.
You know what? This is the last showbiz of the day. I got all kinds of time here, and it's
well,
nice
we just
to
played it.
Breathe and enjoy the magic.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
A lot of people pay attention to a TV show if they're in love with it. Let's say you watch Homeland every week. You know exactly what's going on. You know the characters. There's more people that sort of pay attention to pop culture and sort of have seen you around. And when you play roles like this where you're in Iranian intelligence and you're considered the enemy and a possible terrorist, do you get the double look on the street from people who don't know where they know you from and perhaps are trying to figure out, you know, who you are, where they've seen you, and they look at you with that stink eye?
Well, that's a dumb question.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Truer words have never been spoken.
We need a longer segment than Moment With now if we're going to start featuring a monologue.
An hour with Kevin.
Kevin's filibusters.
We need to thank Kevin Amin Lister, Michael Andriola. He is the one, Ralph, who reached out to us this week with this email. Hey, party people, I know you're growing more and more immune to Kevin's heavy Bertation moments, but I wanted to make sure this one did not get lost to the tube of history.
You bastard.
I have noticed a trend with our special friend Kevin lately in which he takes what should be a simple question and uses thousands of words in what seems like several minutes to ask, only to have the interviewee dumbfounded at the end of it. I'm amazed how he never bails and somehow always thinks he'll dig himself out of it. I isolated this moment from the interview with Sean Tube from Homeland, where Kevin strings together a random assortment of words for almost 40 seconds. Thank you. Keep up the good work, Michael. Thank Michael, by the way. How about that?
We don't need you, Michael.
We need you,
well,
Michael.
Well
we
done,
appreciate
sir.
You.
Well, that's a dumb question.
That was A Moment with
All right.
Kevin.
Man, that's an avalanche of words on our poor guest.
Yeah.
He's like, and he's trying to crawl out. Oh, no, another wave of words comes, and then it's just over.
But I love that guy because he called me on it.
Well,
yep.
Yeah.
Most guests try and be kind and try to go with the flow, but I was clearly just flapping in the wind. Is that what you do in the wind? You flap in the wind?
I believe you're swinging in the wind.
Swinging in the wind. Thank you.
You know, we're only a couple of weeks away from counting down the top 10 moments of the year. And I do think, as much as we pile on Kevin, I do think this is going to be my strongest showing ever. I think 2013, I think, I bet I got close. I might have half this year.
Ooh,
I've really stepped up my
Bean,
game.
Go, Bean. I'm so tired of it being 99% me.
Yeah. Bean is doing so well, they're going to test him for performance-enhancing drugs. That's what I heard.
And now, A Moment with Bean.
And Twitter co-founder Jack Dorsey is 37.
I hate him.
Taking money out of my kids' mouths.
Yes.
Hey, you don't have kids.
And why would you put money in their mouths in the first place? If you did have kids.
That was A Moment with Bean.
That's a good point.
I just came out of nowhere, man.
Strong.
Yeah.
They all do, Bean. They all do.
All right, let's talk about show business. Congratulations to Leighton Meester and Adam Brody. Two really attractive, talented kids, magically in love. The OC star popped the question to Gossip Girl's Leighton Meester after less than a year of dating. And they're very happy. Apparently they met on the set of The Oranges. I'm not familiar with that.
The Oranges?
Is that a feature?
I saw that.
Is that a feature?
Yes. What is it?
Movie.
It's a movie, yeah.
First! I saw it first!
I got it on demand. It was one of those that came out one weekend. And
pizza first!
First!
That's right.
You called first. You called first.
You know who was in it? Was Hugh Laurie. Hugh Laurie starred.
There you go.
Yeah.
I wonder who saw that first.
I don't know.
Pizza first! First!
Okay. Sean Penn's still a dick. God bless him.
Yeah.
He's still got the magic. Remember the time Kevin...
Nope, Kevin, I do not.
Kevin told him he should have cast himself in the call. What was it? Call of the Wild? The hell was it?
Into the Wild. That you would have wanted to play, Sean, had you been young enough for the role?
I was a good deal older than the guy when I first read it, so it never came to mind that way. I never could have or did consider that.
You could have gone comedy with it and been Spicoli. It changed the whole thing around.
Not at all, Kevin.
No,
but I didn't. But I did. What didn't?
Not at all, Kevin.
Sean, you don't Spicoli the real Sean Penn when you've got him on this show.
He was boring. Boring makes me break out.
Well, I wish he had been in the studio because then probably he would have punched you. That
would
have
been fun. Something would have happened.
Yes, Sean's got a notorious temper. He was in the St. Regis Hotel in San Francisco.
He got in a fight.
He was in the lobby bar.
He punched the guy.
Did you see that first?
Pizza first! First!
And he spotted a guy trying to take his photo with a camera across the bar. And a lot of actors would turn their backs or maybe leave the bar if they were uncomfortable.
I would guess you'd get used to that, though, wouldn't you, if you're them?
Not Sean. He crossed the bar, went up to the man and said, "Do I look like an effing zoo animal to you?" Grabbed the man's phone and slammed it to the ground, then threatened to make him eat it.
Threatened to make him eat the phone.
Eat the phone. I will make you eat the phone.
Wow.
Reportedly, the man could have called the police, but declined an offer by management to call them because he was attending a sales conference where Sean had been booked as a speaker.
Uh-oh. Wow.
So he was planning on seeing him later and didn't want to miss the the speaking engagement.
Wow.
Yeah.
Boy, that's a... that's a party when your company hires Sean Penn for the entertainment.
That is not a good speech.
Let's talk about Costa Rica. There.
I think it's 80.
They're very poor there.
Yeah.
There's some other countries that are poor.
Yeah, he does not seem like he would bring the energy.
He's got a PowerPoint presentation.
He's poor, not a moment of party.
Countries you need to look at. Arcade Fire's on tour. But if you're going to go see them, remember, there's a dress code. Ticketmaster.com.
This is a bad trend.
Look at the page for Arcade Fire tickets. And look at their warning. Night of show. Please wear formal attire and costume. This is not a suggestion. You will be turned away from the arena if you're not properly dressed. Even if you have a ticket, security will legally enforce the dress policy. This could get ugly. This could get ugly.
This can't be possibly true.
Look, I love Arcade Fire, as I think we all do.
But I would not put on long pants for anyone.
And we couldn't be more excited, and I remind everyone involved in this conversation that they are scheduled to headline night number 2 of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas.
I know, and I'm for it, and I like their dress code. I think it's cool.
Me too.
I do. I think it would be awesome to make an audience look cool while you're up there on stage.
I'm a fan of it as well.
But I do have to ask, what happens to somebody who pays their money, buys a ticket, has a legal valid entry into the arena, and they are turned away because they're, you know, not wearing a costume or a coat?
Look,
or something,
it says it on the ticket. What are you, an idiot? Do it. Do the right thing. Dress up, people.
But that message is not going to get to everybody.
Make it a night
out.
There
are going to be people who are surprised by that information at the door.
And you're thinning the herd.
They're not going to be thrilled.
Then the dumb people sit in the parking lot, as it should be. They should have the dumb section. Just have just a hibachi going with some burgers for them and some Meisterbrow in the cooler.
Will they put a speaker outside or something?
I don't know, but that's where they belong. Oh, I'm sorry. You don't have you're not dressed formally. You go to the dump section. Thank you so much. I've been talking all day about the fact I'm going to England next year in July. I will be in London at the O2 Arena for the reunion of Monty Python's Flying Circus live.
Say
on
what?
Stage. Yes, it's happening live on stage. I will be there.
Bean's already seen it.
That's right.
Pizza first! First!
You saw the rehearsals. While I'm in England, I will also be attending the Hippodrome Casino.
What's that?
The Hippodrome Casino is England's largest casino, Kevin. I will go there, do a little gambling.
Okay.
A la James Bond. I'll wear my tuxedo.
Sure.
Play a little Shimon Dafar.
You know what that is?
Shimon Dafar.
That's something you do with a lady, right?
I don't know what that is.
Baccarat? Familiar with Baccarat?
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 Yeah.
It's very similar. It's very similar card game.
Yeah.
The reason I'm going to the Hippodrome Casino, however, is they just put out an ad because they are hiring little people as their doormen.
Awesome.
They put out an ad for people under the size of 4'10" to act as door control and customer relations. Fantastic. All their bouncers will be midgets.
Ralph, please, to be politically correct, lowercase people.
They will be lowercase people.
It looked like you stole a midget pants.
The owner, Simon Thomas, says it fits perfectly with the way we do things here. Differently, with a lot of fun involved. So the Hippodrome Casino will be hiring People McNuggets as their doorman.
I'm in.
I am so in. Maybe I can get Brad Williams a job there and then he can get me, the VIP treatment.
Sure.
Sure.
And while we're talking things British, fascinating audio has surfaced this week about the very first time the band The Beatles was ever mentioned in the United States of America. Of course, famously, they appeared on The Ed Sullivan Show in February of 1964. That kicked off Beatlemania here in the States, and the rest is history. But a year before, a little less than a year, November 18th, 1963, NBC's Nightly News did a story about this craze that was going on in the UK about this band, The Beatles. It's a four-minute story. If you get a chance, go on YouTube and listen to it. It's fascinating. There's no video because NBC used to erase and reuse videotapes for their news broadcast. But someone unearthed the audio to the story, and it was found in the Library of Congress, of all places. And Edwin Newman is the reporter doing the story, and his condescending attitude towards the Beatles is remarkable.
It really is. I thought we would really have to read between the lines to get it.
It's blatant. He complains how awful they are, and he talked about the band having what they call the Mersey sound because they were next to the Mersey River in Liverpool.
Oh, that's a reference.
The Mersey sound was the sound that came from that part of England when they were a lot of bands. Jerry and the Pacemakers and others came out from the same area. So he refers to that in the story. But it's remarkable how much he hates them.
The London Times has carried the sobering report that the Beatles may bring their Mersey sound to the United States, to which it may be rejoined, "Show us no Mersey." Also, one Robert Percival, an artist, proposes to capture the Mersey sound on canvas. Percival, mercifully, is deaf. Edwin Newman, NBC News, reported.
He's lucky for him, he's deaf. He never has to hear the Beatles.
Is it just me, or is this guy a little bit of a dick?
Yeah, Edwin Newman's a dick.
That was awesome.
That was awesome.
How childish did they get on the news?
That's mild. Throughout the entire piece, he talks about how awful they are and what a bunch of losers and why is everyone screaming.
Thank God the girls are all screaming because that way we don't have to hear the music.
Yeah, that's he literally says that.
Awesome.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Carly Rae Jepsen is 28 years old today.
Hey, I just met
you. Remix.
This is crazy, but here's my number.
Jenna Maloney's 29. Michael Strahan of Kelly and Michael is 42. He used to be a football player, too, if I'm not mistaken.
That is correct.
Yeah. Alex James, bassist of Blur, is 45 years old today. Speaking of bassists, Brian Ritchie of the Violent Femmes.
Let me go on, like I blister in the sun. Let me go on, big hands, I know you're the one.
Come on, that bass rocks in that song.
We're also doing a killer
Air bass. Yeah, he's 53 years old today. Nicolette Sheridan is 50. Goldie Hawn, the actress, is 68 years old. And Bjork, singer Bjork.
You love her.
Is 48 years old today. Blech. That's what I call her. Not Bjork, blech. Anyone with a B and a J next to each other in their name is effed up.
His fingers, they focus on him.
Oh.
Touches.
Certainly an acquired taste.
It's as if Yoko Ono could carry a tune, she would be Bjork. That's who she'd be. She's 48 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on all new Kevin and Bean Show, we have the movie beat because it is Friday. We've got your final Pearl Jam tickets. I believe, I'm not sure you were in the room for the vote of Clucking the Hits.
I'm sorry, what happened?
We're hoping to have Clucking the Hits tomorrow.
I don't think there's a chance in hell that happening.
Well, we'll talk about it. Bob Odenkirk will be on the show tomorrow. Your castmate, Alex Borstein.
From Family Guy, Lois Griffin. She's got a brand new series on HBO coming up called Getting On.
She will be in the studio. We have Cousin Sal talking about the NFL. And did I say Pearl Jam already? I did.
You did.
Your final chance to win coming up tomorrow.